Blog Talk Radio.
Certain projects that he's working on. So
this episode. He is going to lay it on thick and let us know about all of his current independent filmmaking projects that he's invested in and working hard on and hard in. Oh, my God. We're always talking about dating and sex and stuff here. I made a slip up, I guess. I said it right. Working hard on and all of that good stuff. And so super excited to have him as a guest this morning. Of course, we're talking about independent filmmaking period in 2013. And he really wants to share also regarding why he really loves the crowdfunding of SciEye.gogo. You know, I know many listeners are also fans and love Kickstarter and other crowdfunding sites and all that good stuff, but he really wants to talk about his love for that site in particular and the reasons why also. So I thank you so much for being so supportive. We're near almost 170K views on the profile, and so thank you so much. And approaching 2 years on March the 21st. Can you believe it? Culture Shock Entertainment Reports premiered right here on blogtalkradio.com. Hope you're loving the new look, because I am, on March 21st, 2011. So thank you so much for your love and support. I think I need to get together like a reunion of like guests and supporters of the show for us to celebrate the two-year anniversary. And also, I want to thank True God Immortal for the amazing two-and-a-half talk on Saturday night. Remember to follow his shows because he's recently premiered a hip-hop R&B program also, which has been airing on Mondays, but they're going to find a day. I think they're going to start broadcasting on the beginning of the weekend on Fridays, but on he and his friends co-host Wrestling Heads, which is now WH Radio, and also The Spot, again, is his newest show here at blogtalkradio.com, where they play R&B and hip-hop music. So be sure to follow them and follow them on Twitter at THSPOT, The Spot. So, again, thank you. I love the supporters in the DMV area, and he's representing Baltimore, Maryland. So thank you so much just for being an amazing supporter of Culture Shock Entertainment Reports and me, myself, Culture Shock Entertainment, okay? Thank you. So let's go ahead and get this started. But also, before I go any farther, I want to send hugs and prayers and condolences to fellow country music fans and those that particularly really love the music of Mindy McCready, because as many of you probably already know, she was found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot on yesterday evening. And so sending much love out to her two boys and her family and friends, and again, those of you that love country music like I do. Okay, so it's such a sad, sad story, a sad, sad ending of her life. She had been on my heart anyway regarding the loss of her boyfriend last month, and now we have lost her. But again, no further ado, let's get this party started. Motivated Monday. Here's a public service announcement.
Me? I started smoking when I was 13. I always thought when the time came, I could quit. No problem. Then at 28, I tried to go cold turkey, and I found out how hard it really was. I made it all day without a smoke. Right until I met up with the guys. But I learned something that night. In fact, every time I tried to quit, there were more than a few, I learned a little more about what worked and what didn't work for me. And when I realized that I wasn't alone, that most people don't quit on their first or second attempt, I knew there was still hope. Today, I'm an ex-smoker. My only advice is to never, ever give up trying to quit.
If you're trying to quit smoking, the American Lung Association is here to help every step of the way. Visit quitterinyou.org for tools, tips, and stories from smokers we've helped to finally quit for good. The American Lung Association. We support the quitter in you at quitterinyou.org.
So, sending much love to those of you that are doing your best to quit smoking, and I thank you also for your support and vices that I am dealing with. And again, without no further ado, let's get started with our talk, because he has a lot to say, which we all know. And also, I must let you all know also that on Wednesday, Matters of the Heart topic will be Valentine's Day is over. But hey, you know, it's over. But spreading love and, in my opinion, creating, developing, maintaining positive, not only love relationships, but friendships, period, goes on daily. And so it's expressing our love and really, you know, dealing with personal development and professional development and dealing with love itself and liking others is not just something to be celebrated on Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is a special day, but every day is an important special day, especially when it comes to love. Unconditional love, romantic love, maintaining relationships, good positive relationships, reconnecting. Some of us want and like to reconnect with others, but then creating, developing, maintaining relationships. A book, I seen these two guys on Steve Harvey's show last week, and in our private conversations, even on the show, Dean has mentioned the book Manology that Reverend Run and Tyrese Gibson has written. Reverend Run comes from the perspective of keeping a guy. Tyrese comes from the perspective of getting a guy. So just it's important on getting the love and keeping the love, regardless of your gender. Say, hey, that's right. Get on in the combo. Thank you. So I've seen the guys on. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm good. I was listening to the intro. You know, I was working hard in Valentine's Day. I was working hard on some things, you know, I'm saying. And so that, you were kind of right on that. I'm saying I was working hard. And but yeah, you know, I do not agree in this unconditional love thing that everybody keep talking about when they have these conversations about love. If you treat me wrong, I ain't going to love you. That it just it is all there is to it. If you got bad stuff to say and you all about, you should love me unconditionally, I'm like, I ain't Jesus. I'm just saying. So I just
that's
put that
a good
out
point.
There.
I do agree with you on that. When I mention unconditional love, I'm just talking about like loving life and loving God's gracious. Yeah, that's important you bring that up, though. But
a lot of people, every time you talk about this love thing, I hear a lot of discussion boards, a lot of think tanks. A lot of people in their books or whatever that's coming out with this thing called unconditional love. I'm like, where did they get that from? You mean to tell me you're going to love somebody, they're going to I don't want to say mess on you, but, you know, just treat you like whatever, whatever. And you're going to say, but I love it, you. You know, y'all, we need to stop that.
I'm glad
you
added that because I didn't think people might be thinking that way, but that's a good point because some people expect you to be in awe of them.
Again, this is a man's point of view, you know, coming from y'all this morning. I mean, this is a public service announcement. You know.
Again, so, this is Mr. Dean Lance Russell, and the floor is his this morning.
You know, for the purpose of the conversation, y'all can just call me DJ Dean for short, you know, because I got a lot of AKAs out there. If you know me from the if y'all know me from the booking agency thing, y'all know me as something else. If you know me from the film thing, you know me from something else. From the comedy, you know me as another name. So I got all
these
names.
What's your porn name?
we ain't finished the tape yet. When we finish the tape, I'm gonna let you name it because I am a gentleman. So when the tape comes out, I'm gonna let you, you know, lightly let them hang. You know, like you let the women name the babies. You gotta be the baby. The tape to be the baby. Like, I'm gonna let you name it. I'm a gentleman.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Thank you. I really appreciate the honor.
I'm a gentleman. I'm just saying. See, that's what's up. But good morning, everybody. You know, again, you know, I hate that, you know, we had to come on such a sad occasion with the death of the country star, Mindy McCready. Last time I saw her on television, it was on the Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew. And mental illness in this country is crazy. I mean, it's crossing boards. Like, you would think that if you make a certain amount of money, you got a certain amount of fame, you don't have to deal with mental illness. But, you know, you're seeing it more and more. A lot of these celebrities on Celebrity Rehab, you know, having problems, having issues. Now, I'm saying now, if celebrities with all this money got these issues, there ain't no hope for us. I'm just like, you know, the Pope retiring, he like, I can't deal with this. I ain't catching all these.
Oh,
kids.
Wow. That is a
the
big
Pope
story.
Is retiring. People leaving churches. The divorce rate is over 50%. You know, people just gave up. You know, I mean, this generation, you know, a lot of people say we punks. You know, they say they give up. When something get too hard, they quit. You know, they say, what about the people who came up during the depression, people who came up during, you know, when they didn't have what we have? You know, we feel entitled. And I think that got something to do with a lot of these, you know, deaths or the way the disrespect that the young people are being right now. You know, I think people feel entitled, and so when they don't get what they had, they just give up and whatever. But, you know, shout out to our ancestors, people that were here before us. They went through some stuff, you know. And
yes,
you know,
they did.
You know, so we might want to just learn what they did, how they got through it. You know, George Burns, he did a cigar and some brandy or something, and he lived way up until a certain amount. But now they're putting all this stuff in the wine and the food. You can't live that long no more, it seems like, you know. But that's my little rant, y'all. You know, I'm just saying, but mental illness, you know, I got some projects working on mental illness in film. And, you know, because that's something, you know, we can try to deny it, but you can't ignore it, because in TV every day, that Doherty guy, they say he committed suicide, you know, and shot himself. They say this Mindy Creedy, country singer, after her boyfriend killed himself about a month ago, you know, she killed herself, you know, and she was struggling with substance abuse. Depression, been taking her kid. And her kids, I think her oldest child ain't nothing but like 2 or 3 years old. So, you know, so she got two kids.
I think he's six and the baby 10 months.
Wow. That's
Yeah,
that's
but
young.
He's a little kid. Yeah.
That's young. That's young right there, you know. And that's why I'm saying, you know, it's a sad day, but it's a I don't know. It's like a sign of the times, because like it seems like people are giving up now. I mean, you know, like when I heard the Pope gave up, I'm like, you know, I'm like, how you gonna retire? You know, the Pope's supposed to, like, you know, even when he can't move no more, he's wiggling his finger in the wind or something, you know, or just wink at him one time.
Because to me, he's one of the most vibrant popes I ever seen in my lifetime. I'm 44. You're 48. The other popes, they could barely move.
Hey, let's just put this out there, y'all. Maybe that's a good thing. They are that's a Catholic joke, y'all. Hey, I don't want to. That is not the opinion of the host. I'm just saying, but you know, hey, this Pope, he's, you know, it's kind of suspect that he's retiring when he retired. When all these cases is coming, that who knew what when about all these pedophile priests, and, you know, and how they were shifting them from one place to another.
Because he had surgery, but my mother was telling me earlier this morning that they said they're saying that it's a lot more to it than the reason he's retired.
I gotta admit, if I was the Pope right now and all this was going down, I think I would catch a cramp right about now too. I'm like, whoo, it's so hot. You know, I need to retire right now.
And then I was watching Rob Nelson and Diana Perez on ABC World News Now, and they were saying that they're going to investigate more. But and a man says he's tired, you know, so
right.
Believe him.
And you know, and the reality is that a lot of people are just opting out now. You know, rather than deal with drama, it's better to opt out. Some choose suicide, some choose retirement. I'm not condoning either or, but I'm just saying, people don't fight. They don't want to stay in and fight no more for nothing, because, you know, a lot of there's a book out, I forget the name of it. They call This Generation are a weaker generation, that they can't take nothing, can't put up with nothing. Like the older generation, they went through some things, you know. I mean, if y'all call in right now, y'all probably can tell some stories of some stuff that y'all been through and stuff like that. But this generation, you know, they just give up, you know. The first thing, you know, you lose their job, they want to kill themselves, or, you know, it's just a bad thing. You know, 714-409-0614, definitely call in. You know, definitely don't tell it about film, but you know, it's just like I just see this generation as being weaker. Like, you know, people back in the day, you know, it just to me it seemed like they were stronger, and you know, I don't know whether it's on technology or whether it's on this entitlement that we're going through right now, but people feel that everything should be easy now, you know, and they don't fight for nothing anymore. They give up, you know. They don't fight for their
yeah.
marriages, so they have a divorce. They don't fight for their life no more, you know, so they commit suicide. People aren't, you know, people, you know, and that goes back to mental illness again. And I'll say maybe, you know, people don't know how to ask for help. And maybe it's our jobs to intervene, you know, when we see people doing stuff, you know, and you know that they're not, and they're doing
and
some
stuff. And sometimes people do ask for help, but then they feel like they're being ignored or overlooked or like they're invisible or that other people are too caught up in their own issues, you know.
Not, I thought I apologize for that. No, I'm just playing.
But we do have a caller, another friend of the show. We do have another caller, another friend of the show. The Depth Shepherd, who is based in Nashville. He's on the line, so let's say hello to him.
Good morning.
Good morning, Depth Shepherd. How are you doing? Long time no talk.
I'm fabulous. Just stopped in, and I heard you guys talking. I want to share an unusual piece of information about the whole Pope resignation thing. And I'm not Catholic, I'm not Christian, I'm not any of those things. This is just some information, and I think this will dig a little bit deeper. Because a lot of people have a feeling that, you know, hey, there's something more to this. Yeah, so he's 85. You know, please, come on, quit lying to us. So here's the thing. A global media release and statement from the International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State, which is ITCCS. This comes out of basically Brussels. The historically unprecedented resignation of the Pope this week was compelled by an upcoming action by a European government to issue an arrest warrant against the Pope and a public lien against Vatican property and assets by Easter.
Wow.
I'm not going to read the whole email. It's very long. It's very deep. We could talk about it for hours, but the bottom line is this. What has happened is he's been served. The Vatican has been served papers to say, we're coming to get you. We're sick of all of this ridiculousness. And it doesn't matter who you put in that office. We're going to do the exact same thing to the next person you stick in there. So get ready for some really interesting stuff happening at the top of this so-called pile or heap of power and control.
Wow.
So it is true. A really big scandal is brewing.
Yeah, what basically, and this is like what you would call black ops stuff. I mean, this is like so below the radar that, you know, 99 out of 100 people – We're just not brought up to really look for this information, to really move into these circles. And of course, you know, when you see it in the media, I mean, I watched him read his resignation in Latin, which, okay, fine, they translated it in English at the bottom, but unless you speak Latin, which is a dead language, you don't know if that's what he's saying when he's talking. I mean, and I'm not going to get into the linguistics, but that's part of the deception. I mean, they recited Catholic Mass in Latin up until the 50s or the 60s. Why would you want to go to Mass if you don't even know what the Pope is saying?
Let me ask you a question while you're online. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Can we, you know, can he be brought up to a congressional hearing, or is that out of our control or whatever? Or can they do that? Because I know it's like a lot of other politicians where they're caught up in scandal, you know, they'll bring them to have a congressional hearing.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Can you do stuff like that with the Pope, or does it have to be an outside source?
Well, the one thing we have to understand is simply this. The Vatican is a city-state, which means picture it as an island out in the middle of the ocean. It is its own independent entity. It has its own law, its own police force. Most people know that. There are two other areas in the world that have the exact same protection as the Vatican. One is Washington, D.C., and the other one is London, England.
But you know, there are a lot of places do that, but when you commit a crime and go overseas, America has been known for going snatching people and bringing them back to serve trial for what they did, and a lot of those people are victims of that crime do live here in America.
Yes.
So I would think that, you know, could he be brought back to America and face those, you know, or is it better for, like what you were saying, that the people overseas who did that citation or whatever towards him and stuff like that over there, would that be a better –
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I mean, in other words, what we're talking about is the question that you appear to be asking is would it make sense to extradite him to the U.S.? Well, here's the thing. There's really no jurisdiction in terms of what he has allowed to happen. And when I say he, I don't mean he sits there and he plots all of these things. What we're attacking is an infrastructure of power that's been in place since the Catholic/Christian church even existed. So we're talking about 2,000 years of iron-fisted rule here. So what has happened is finally all over the globe, in centers of power, in finance, in, you know, every imaginable sector of society has quietly behind...
Wow, this sounds like some Illuminati stuff.
Well, I mean,
I just want to caution, you know, the listeners, just in case, you know, because, you know, we haven't, you know, the source and stuff, like, we haven't confirmed the source. So this is allegedly, y'all, we say.
Exactly,
right now.
Yes. No, that's,
I haven't seen it with my eyes.
You're correct. I haven't seen
the report.
Dip Shepherd.
Those that are listening, this is allegedly right
yes,
now.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct.
And Dip Shepherd, can you please again share your source again? You announced it at the beginning.
The email that I received is from a website called privatist.me, which is PRIVATIS.ME. And that's a type of website that teaches people about common law and how the courts operate under UCC, which is Uniform Commercial Code. It teaches you, and I've known a lot of this, but this keeps me sharp. The whole system, the corporations, the county, the city, the state, and all these governments, they're nothing but corporations. As a matter of fact, last night I was doing a little bit of digging, and if you go to DNB, which is DunnInBradstreet.com, which is where you pull business credit reports, Barack Hussein Obama is a corporation. Everything is a corporation, all of it. And that's how these people hide.
I think I heard someone talking to this
yes.
on another show as well, where
yes.
even the schools are corporations.
They're, every single
exactly.
thing. That,
and,
every,
and back to what you were just saying, Lance, in private conversation, our churches, period.
They're all
yes,
corporations
churches.
Because if your church
exactly.
applies for 503C immunity from taxation, the church that I served in from 08 to 2010 as treasurer and board member, it's a corporation. And we wondered why we were struggling, because what we were doing unknowingly is operating the old pyramid structure of management and control, but we didn't know it.
Exactly.
And that's the reason why.
Wow. But like I said again, you know, we're waiting for WikiLeaks to come out with this, y'all, because somebody got to see one thing about truth is out there, y'all, and you can only hide truth for so long. And it's going to spread like disease. It's going to spread like a cold. You know, it's going to spread like an STD, the truth.
That's right.
And when it comes out, y'all heard it here. This was like breaking news.
Good announcement.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
But right now, we're going to put analogy. We're putting alleged on this. This is alleged information,
right.
you know.
Absolutely.
Until it comes out. You know, for the letters that's going to come in and the calls that's going to come in, this is allegedly, but, you know, it's kind of suspect. And it warrants questioning, you know, because you haven't seen this. It's precedent that a pope retires like this. And usually people do that, you know, I want to spend time with my family. When they get caught up in scandal, that's what usually goes down. So, again, this is allegedly, you know, and, you know, we want you to just keep that in mind.
I thank Deb Shepherd for sharing this information. He's a good friend of the show also. You probably bump into him in the chat room also. He has his own website also, DepShepherd.com, right?
Yeah, and let me give you the link directly to the source, because your guest said exactly what he should have said. No matter what you hear on this show or any show, do not accept it as truth. Here's the problem. We have been trained to accept regurgitated information from people in centers of control and accept it as truth. So I'm going to give you the direct link. I'm not affiliated with these people. I'm just telling you where the source is. ITCC.
And thank you so much for sharing this information.
Yes.
Let me be quiet, okay?
It's ITCCS.org. That stands for International ITCCS.org. So if you go there, what that is that's the Common Law Court of Justice. You can dig around. You can read. It'll talk about the papers that were being served and how this works. So it's the International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State, ITCCS. So the bottom line is this.
ITCCS.
Yeah. Tango, Charlie, Sierra.org. You have to do your own homework. You have to do your own homework. And that's so important that you brought that up. It really, really is.
Yeah,
yes,
you know, because like, that's one thing that they blame us bloggers for. They say, like, They said the reporters would cite their sources and they were held accountable, but they said bloggers, they would just share stuff that they heard and whatnot, hearsay. But again, we bloggers are seriously too, because they, those people probably got actual documents or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, because people don't just come out with stuff. You know, they probably can't.
And one thing about it, we really do our
reveal
our
person's
research.
Name. They probably can't come out with their person's name or whatever right now until the story actually breaks to protect or whatever of getting sued, because you know a lot of lawyers gonna come after somebody, you know, because you know he got his pockets is deep, the Pope pockets is deep right now.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because now this is another thing that you can look up if you're listening. Go to Google and find the Associated Press. We all know who the AP is, okay? They've been around for years.
Yeah.
Go to their website and look for a story about, this is allegedly now, once again, about a year ago, the Vatican allegedly quietly released a small AP wire that said, we're broke. We're broke.
Wow.
Which we know that's a joke. That is a complete joke. The Vatican is not broke. One of the
they have been having to settle a lot of pedophile cases and a lot of school closings. Like, you know, a lot of my friends on the East Coast, they said a lot of Catholic schools have shut down because of this. They can't afford. They are going through some stuff, I heard. You know?
Yeah,
I'm not saying that's, you know.
Here's the thing. If we understand the physical structure of Vatican City, we all know about the Vatican Library. We've heard about the famed Vatican Library, and all of these books are in there, and the Dead Sea Scrolls contents are in there, of which the public was never made privy to their true contents. We know this. All it is the hoarding and the control of information. It's been going on for centuries since kings ruled over subjects. If you know what's underneath the Vatican, and this isn't dark conspiracy stuff, this is just plain common sense. There's what's called the Vatican Archives. So when you hear of the library in Alexandria that was plundered by people like Napoleon and all these people when they marched into all these countries and took them over, everything that they stole from those cultures, the relics, the all of the wealth, all of that stuff is stored in places like the Vatican Archives. So one piece of artifact, one piece of history being sold at auction is completely priceless. The Vatican is not broke. Please. They're the largest holder of wealth on the entire planet.
The Tomb Raider, y'all, just listen, it's more than a movie. We're talking about movies today. I'm saying, like, this is real talk, because Tomb Raider, a lot of time art imitates life, you know, about these filmmakers making movies. When you talk about Tomb Raiders, you know, it goes back to, like, what they stole from Egypt and what they stole from all these artifacts where they stole, you know, and then they put a spin on it when they bring it here to America,
exactly,
and whatnot, and then now, you know, which comes to a thing again, you know, what about the people they stole, you know, and that becomes, you know, because Root's been playing, I've been crying and having to drink my tea and say that's the past now, but I watched the Roots the other day, y'all. I'm just saying, talking about artifacts that got stolen, you know, that's a thing too, and then when they're calling people immigrants and stuff like that, you know, and they, you know, they there was this teacher, this professor, who was teaching his class that, you know, the Indians were here first, and that America came over here, the colonists, the pilgrims, and then the colonizers, and they called everybody else, you know, he said, so this country, whatnot, you know, is ran by people who stole it, you know, by illegal immigrants. Illegal immigrants are running the country. And when he said that was so powerful that Fox News attacked him, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, when you have these real conversations about stolen artwork, you know, you got to talk about stolen people and stolen art and stolen, you know, religions and stuff like that. So I would love to see what they got in those tombs and whatever, you know. That just sounds interesting, like with Tomb Raider, you know, what else has been stolen, you know, and stuff like that. You know, people have been stolen, a language has been stolen, like, you know, and you come over here in language, you know, and again, I'll bring you back to the film. You talk, and I'm doing a foreign film that was filmed in Mumbai, and, you know, you bring people over here, and languages are, I don't want to say committing suicide, but languages are dying over here, you know, and cultures that, you know, are passed on orally, you know, what happens to the culture once the language dies, you know? And so that, you know, I would, like, when you talk about Latin and stuff like that, language, and, you know, how only rich people spoke certain languages and they had all the information, you know, you wonder what happens. What happens when a language dies? What happens? You know, who goes to the funeral? You know what I mean? Who goes to the wake? You know, who are the beneficiaries? You know, once a language dies, and languages are dying off very fast. I mean, especially in the African community. You know, Africa speaks several hundreds of thousands of languages. You know, but you know, when you come here to America, and even on the other side of the border, those languages are dying. You know,
the important thing about language, and this is beautiful that you brought this up. One, people need to understand this. Okay, why is it that in English, one word that is pronounced exactly the same way means five or six or seven or eight different things? There's a reason for that, people. It's called deception. If you step into a courtroom and they're using these Latin words, unless you have a Black's Law dictionary in front of you and you stop and look up every word that they just spit out of their mouths, you don't know what they're saying. They're speaking a cryptic language for a reason, because they're not there. That you being there has nothing to do with the charges that are being brought against you. It is about the exchange and the extortion of money and stealing your freedom. That is all the court system is about.
I can't let you come over here and talk about the pharmaceutical company like that.
Oh, I'm not going to go with the pharmaceutical company.
No, I'm just playing, but that's what they do. They write all that stuff in these other languages that we don't understand.
They do.
We be like, wait a minute, I got what? You got spicolitis and whatever, and you need to pay. You can even buy this drug.
Yeah.
That people are going to hospitals and getting them to buy this drug, and they paying these doctors. If you get rid of my drug, my prescription.
Yeah.
You know, even though it failed the test, if you sell my drug or whatever, I'll pay you money. And this goes back to this young lady who country singer who died today. She was on prescriptive meds for what she was going through. And Mindy McCready, and you know, and she was writing fake prescriptions to get this drug because she was so addicted to it, and people are so addicted to these prescriptive drugs now that you know you would think that you know mental illness is such a thing that we would try to start outlawing some of these illegal drugs instead of bullets. But everybody's breaking the conversation about bullets. But you got to have that conversation also about mental illness.
Yeah.
If you're going to have that conversation about that, like these doctors that are writing prescriptions, their prescriptions that they're writing to these people who have mental illness or whatever is the same as a person selling a gun and whatnot. So if you're going to come after the gun person selling those guns, come after the doctor. You know, which I feel bad for some of the doctors. Like Michael Jackson, doctor got caught in this or whatever. But you know, this is what happens when you get into this society wherein people are numbing the pain and whatnot instead of dealing with the pain. And you got doctors like, you know, people say, well, I'm gonna buy a gun and kill myself. That'll get rid of the pain, or I'll get some prescriptive medicine and that'll kill the pain. You know. You want to make the person accountable for killing themselves, but at the end of the day, you know, those doctors who have been prescribing these prescription meds and know that person don't need them, but because of the money, they're still giving it to them, and they end up dead, you know, and we got so many actresses and actors that died from prescriptive meds or whatever, you know, that. You know, we have to take another look at this mental illness and whatnot, and it's not just the guns, you know. And this, I know we're supposed to be talking about something different, but this is what about pet things right here, you know, about prescriptive medicine. It becomes such a, like the brother was saying, a corporation, you know, so much so where it's about money now. Like, you know, we want to get America addicted to prescriptive medicine, wherein the whole United States is under some prescription or whatever. And you seem like you can't think straight when you're under prescriptive like that. Either if it's not a legal prescription, it's an illegal prescription or a legal prescription. But everyone is on something, it seems like. And how can you expect a society to function if everybody is on some kind of medication, whether it's self-medicating, with drugs or with prescriptive medication? And that's the end of my rant, y'all. I'm gonna fall back now to this other discussion, but you know, hey, that right there, y'all. I'm just saying, everybody's intoxicated. We are in a society. Everybody is intoxicated. What else did you expect besides a suicide? What else did you expect besides this gun stuff? Everybody's under the influence. I mean, ask anybody who calls in. I guarantee you they're on something, you know. Well, I'm on Advil, or I'm on ibuprofen, or I'm on Vicodin or Prozac or something. You know, are you really surprised when people starting to kill themselves all of a sudden? Are you really surprised people commit suicide? You know, everyone's under the influence, and I'm gonna shut up. But that I just see that pattern, y'all.
You know what? The one of the biggest things that people are under the influence of, and I've been talking about this for years, and I'm only speaking from personal experience. Most of the people in this country, unfortunately, are under the influence of television, and they don't see it as a drug, and they don't see it as a mind-altering and a soul-tearing thing that they participate in every day, because they don't want to accept the fact that the corporations that own these mainstream media outlets are owned by about five or six companies globally, and they're spoon-feeding you reality. And the thing is, as we look at TV and radio and internet and all of these mainstream sources, and I'm not talking about the good stuff like normal people like the three of us having a conversation. I'm talking about the big stuff. And we think that's culture. And here's the key. Media should not create culture. Media should simply reflect it. But what we've done is we've allowed it to create culture. So
or affect it, because, like, you know, I'm in that thing with in the film part of it. We all saw the Tutsi and the Hutu situation now, where a radio DJ influenced the Civil War because he kept saying, "Look at the Tutsi, they got more than we got. We should declare war."
Yep.
So the media, you know, they have a responsibility as well, because if you know you can affect a civil war, and in the age of this new media, like with Twitter and stuff like that, the social media is so powerful now in these think tanks and bringing people together, wherein media can be used for good and affect change, but a lot of it's being used for bad. But, you know, I'm just putting it out there. But the same thing that's can be used for bad can be used for good.
And you make an excellent distinction, because for a lot of years I focused on the negative. You know, let's route out the problem, let's expose the government. But then I had to come to a place of wisdom, because someone had to show me and say, "Greg, you need to understand, fire can be both good, used for good, it can be used for bad." So I always have to remind myself, and thank you for saying that, that whatever it is that we may be talking about, you know, let's just say the Pope is what all of these bad things. He's also a human being. He also has a soul, and we have to know it. As a human being, we love these people, but we cannot tolerate the behavior that they're exhibiting. And one of the things that most people fall prey to is this thinking that comes out of religion of you're supposed to just love your enemy and turn the other cheek, and that is passivity, and it creates a society of people who are easily controlled.
There, but I'm not going to go there, y'all. That was too easy. Yeah, too easy.
Anyway.
I'm saying.
I'll get off the mic.
But like he was saying, you know, when you don't do nothing, that's just as bad as committing crime. You could say, "Well, I saw it, but I didn't say anything." Like that Sandusky, you know, he saw the young boy in the shower getting whatever. But because of the person's title, the person said, "Well, he's bringing money into this corporation, money into this school. We're winning games. I'll turn the up. Hey, maybe I shouldn't say turn the other cheek. I'll look the other way." He said,
"Yeah."
And this is what people are doing now. They did it in churches. They turn the other cheek because of the person's title. People probably have these meetings. If you whistleblow, you will not only hurt that person, you will hurt the whole corporation. So can you keep this to yourself? Can we pay you off?
Yeah.
And you see that happening. In mega churches, you see it happening in businesses. WikiLeaks brought a lot of that out to us, like, you know, with these whistleblowers and this Pope situation is just like another thing. But again, I'll put out there, it's alleged, y'all. So, like, don't say we saying, you know, it's
exactly
definitely this what's going on, but it's alleged now.
That's right.
And the records will be a part of public record sooner or later, you know, unless they shut that down with lawyers. But, you know, with all this going on and stuff like that, you know, if you see something, say something, you know, it comes down to something like that, because you are a part of it as well. If you in there and say, "Well, I'm not going to talk about the abuse because, you know, they're the pastor of this church, or they're the president, or they're the senator, or they're whatever." If you see something, and don't say nothing, you know, you're just as bad. So the power is also in our mouths and stuff like that, what we're doing on these shows like this, when we have think tanks and we talk about it, you know, you can be around your water cooler today and say to yourself and stuff like that, what did I see that I didn't say nothing? You know, they talk about the Pope or whatever and all these people he's surrounded by because of his position. You know, people are saying, well, he didn't do things. But, you know, when you signed your name on stuff, you know, and you know, you become party with stuff or whatever. So if you know, we say that about him, what have we done that we become a party to that we've seen and because of the person's position didn't say anything about it? Do we hold ourselves to that same standard and stuff like that as we do these politicians, these people in religion and stuff like that? So, you know, that's a good point, too. You know, while we are definitely talking about them this morning, definitely, you know, it's going to come back to us. What have I allowed in my life or whatever that I've seen, you know, that I just, like, let happen, you know, that I should have said something, you know, when I saw the child taking drugs and didn't say anything, or your kids was having sex and not saying anything, or, you know, it just comes back to us. At the end of the day, everything we say on the show, you know, we talk about culture shock entertainment. This is culture shock right now, you know, because you're hearing it right now, you know, people are coming
exactly.
to entertainment.
And when I came out with the name in the 90s, it's because we are always living in the midst of some kind of shocking situations going on in our culture.
I didn't know.
And I also with the problems. Yeah. Well, sometimes it's shocking. But
that was overshot for me. I'm like, why are they showing themselves? They're on TV. I'm saying like this. She had like 10,000 Angels song out, 2 million records sold. You know, she had this fame going for. You know, just like
the NFL player, like the Kansas City Chiefs NFL player. I mean, why? Yeah, we ask why. What we could have, would have, should have done.
It, just when you thought they were going better, because I think she had got an award or something. She was on Dr. Drew's show. Mindy McCree, we're talking about.
But she loved her boyfriend, and then some people have been accusing her, like, "Hey, what's up?" Because his suicide had been suspicious. And I just seen an interview of her on ABC like 2 nights ago. And the reporter asked her, "Did you have anything to do with his suicide?" And she was like, "No way."
Well, you know what, talking about culture, you're gonna see a movie about these. You're gonna see a movie about the Doherty thing, that the fired police officer that killed those four people, and mysteriously, you know, and y'all, I'm just saying, if you hear smoke or explosion, you know, and then, you know, the old guy that took that kid hostage in a bunker, they said that after an explosion, we heard a gunshot, and then they said we don't know how he died. We just like we had an explosion and a gunshot, and then all of a sudden now this Doherty guy, you know. They said we heard an explosion, fire, and a gunshot. So I'm just saying, we don't know how he died. They said these things are suicide. So I'm just saying, y'all, if y'all had an explosion and you know, a gunshot is coming, you know, I think they need to investigate that, you know. But I think you talk about film today, you're going to see a film about these things. And, you know, and a lot of y'all that's listening, 714-409-0614.
Yeah.
How do y'all feel about films being made about stuff like this? Is it too soon?
Yeah.
Because you know one coming out.
Well, because you know what film I want to see? Like, tomorrow?
Right.
The story about Dorner.
Wow. You know somebody, right? I guarantee TV's going to grab
I want to see his made-for-TV movie, like, soon.
Let me ask a question, you guys. And I actually did a podcast on this, briefly touching
okay,
on
yes.
this big
please
story.
Tell the listeners about how everyone can get in contact with you, your podcast and your website, because if you all listen to the show, you have heard him advise us, especially during Christmas time, when it came to Christmas shopping. So before we go off the air, please tell us about New Year's living a little bit also. But again, yeah, we're all talking about independent filmmaking. But why have you, Deb Shepherd? Right before airtime, I seen a story where they are recommending to parents to reduce the time that they allow their kids to watch the tube. They said the average kid watched 2 hours of the tube a day. And then I guess that's not even mentioning the internet, like Dean.
And I think, wow. I think it's way higher than that with reality TV.
Yeah, yeah, two pretty low. The comment I wanted to make about the whole story on the West Coast of this police officer, and I covered this.
And that's where Dean is. Dean is in L.A., and Deb Shepherd is in Nashville.
I covered this in a recent podcast, and the question we have to ask ourselves is, why do I want to listen to that information in the news? For example, it happened in California. It happened in California, okay? Now, if I live in that area, I want to know about it. If someone is moving and they allegedly killed someone, I need to know about that. If the person is traveling, they're moving, I need to know. If there's a killer loose in your neighborhood, you need to know. But if you live in Florida, if you live in New York, if you live in Mississippi, you don't need to know about this story. It has nothing to do with you.
Well,
it's none of your business.
Your question is simple. It's called bloodlust.
It's called what?
It's called bloodlust.
Yes, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Because Dean has shared with me a story when they were on the manhunt looking for Dorna. He shared a story with me. That's a good point you mentioned that I haven't seen and still haven't heard regarding Dorna. You want to share that with us, Dean, regarding the two women being mistakenly shot?
What happened was, you know, people were so afraid of this out-of-control military-trained guy or whatever that – you know, he had put a manifesto together that, you know, I'm going to get all police or whatever, and so the police were, you know, police get scared when they hear that. So they saw someone driving around with a car that was reported that he was driving, and they opened fire on the car and you know, wounded an elderly lady and her daughter or something like that. You know, you guys got to check the you probably can Google it to find more about the story. But they were so afraid that they mistakenly, you know, and you have this happen a lot, you know, with collateral damage. People get so afraid, you know, when fear comes, you know, people just like, you know, that looked like him, you know, like for example, like, you know, people in Iraq, Iran, they probably deal with this every day, like a car coming to you and they don't speak your language and you tell them to slow down. Now, you thinking that they're terrorists and they got a bomb in there, but you don't know. So you got a split second to make a decision, and when they come up to you, they open fire on the car. They find out it was just a family. But what if the next car comes and they don't open up and it blows up everybody? So you know, I kind of, you know, when these stories come out like that, I understand the fear, but you know, I don't agree with it, you know, stuff like that. But you know, that's what happened in that case. You know, some scared police. You know, everybody wants to say he was over anxious or whatever.
That's a good point that Deb Shepherd had just made. I mean, he might have heard that story, but I didn't hear about it until you told me. And then your friend who you're working with also, and someone who I love to network with, Reagan Gomez, she tweeted about it.
Right. And that's the thing right now. You know, like he asked the question earlier, you know, why is it important that this be breaking news? Why do people tune into stuff like that? Like we did the OJ trial, you know, the OJ trial happened here, but the world was tuned into it.
Well,
you know, there are certain things that resonate with people.
Want to say a documentary or a made to TV movie, because I like bios and I want to hear about the beginnings and what did he actually experience and go through. Why would someone, you know, do that?
They said that he witnessed one of his own, you know, they call it the blue code or whatever, like the police don't tell on police, just like gangs or whatever. And they said he was a whistleblower, and he saw another cop, you know, kicking excessively a homeless guy or something.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you. I want to hear that part. I want to listen to
that. All this stuff is allegedly, y'all.
He reported police brutality. That's what he told on. I wanted to know exactly what he told on.
But they said some other things happened too. So I don't have the entire story. That's why I'm saying it's alleged that, you know, he feel that he was targeted because of this, and you probably got people that's on this call now. They got a whole community online now called targeted individuals, and some of that stuff is true. You know, I've read some of them stories wherein, you know, if you say something against the authorities or police or whatever, they target you, and certain things are start happening to you all of a sudden. All of a sudden, you're getting pulled
over
by the police. All of a sudden,
yeah.
you know, your house being broken into and you don't know why all of a sudden. So they do target individuals or whatever. You know, I believe that. Maybe he could have been one of them target individuals. I don't know. But, you know, your callers like 714-409-0614 and stuff like that, you might know about target individuals, and maybe that could have been what happened to him.
I empathize with anybody who may report the wrongdoings of others, and it's sad that when people turn around, then you get reprimanded. So I empathize with anybody like that. But then to turn around years later and have your own revenge list and go out and kill people.
Well, see,
wow.
that goes back to the statute of limitations on hurt. See, a lot of people say, well, that happened to you a long time ago. Just get over it.
I'm sure. But you got to think about it. He was considering himself, I guess, being a good cop. I'm going to tell on these bad guys. I'm a good guy.
I don't have the whole story yet. You know, but, you know, some other stuff could have been going on because they said he was fired. And back in 2008 or something went down. And then they actually, you know, said, give me your badge. You're not allowed. You lose all your security clearances, so you can't get future jobs using your experience. And when you take all that away from a person, you know they turn into Rambo.
You know who this guy looked like? And this is I don't watch TV, but this Dorner guy or whatever his name is.
Because I've been trying to figure out who he reminds me of.
He reminds me of LL Cool J. Just his look, just his face.
Wow.
I think you're right. I was about to say thank you.
Yeah, just
you know
his
what?
Face.
I have been trying to figure out who does he remind me of.
I've seen that face somewhere before.
He looks like LL Cool J.
Because I myself have been trying to figure out, well, he looks very familiar. Is it someone I know? But you are so right.
I don't even watch mainstream TV. I gave it up in late 90s. I have Netflix, but I don't watch. I hardly ever watch movies.
Let me segue into this real quick. You know, because we're talking about TV, how we are frustrated with the reality shows, how the broadcasting and programming on television. This is why a person like me, I'm a filmmaker.
I love reality TV shows, but there are some reality TV shows
and a lot of us do, but.
I want a reality show.
But let me say this, though. A lot of actors out there aren't getting work now because, see, these reality stars, you don't have to pay them no money. You know, you don't have to pay them like you would do an actor, right? You got to pay an actor like $21 million or whatever. But these reality stars, you only got to pay them so much per episode. And, you know, so it's cheaper to do a reality show. So what that did, it changed the programming on television, wherein, you know, what your sitcoms have slowly disappeared. We went to those funerals, you know.
I do miss sitcoms. But, you know, Diane Carroll was recently on Wendy Williams, and she was talking about when she was on Dynasty and she and Joan Collins are really good friends, even though they played enemies toward one another. And she talked about just that. Wendy Williams wanted to know what happened to Hollywood actors and actresses. And
right.
she mentioned exactly what you just said.
I'll show you when it went down. Like, it began with the magazines. Like, a lot of the models, you know, began, you know, complaining that, you know, the actors and musicians were still in their covers. They were like, nobody want to see just pretty faces no more that don't do anything but look pretty in model clothes. They saying that, you know, they want to see somebody singing or, you know, so then you started seeing Janet Jackson's on the covers. You started seeing Alicia Keys. You started seeing, you know, these Ben Afflecks and all these other people on there. And a model said, you know, they changed the industry. And then when that happened, you know, models were out of work almost. You know, models were like saying, you know what? So what models start doing? Models started saying, well, I'm going to act now. And so models start acting like we seen Resident Evil, we seen Monster, where that serial killer woman or whatever was played by a model or whatever. So we saw that, and then all of a sudden, overnight, MTV came out with Real World, you know, and stuff like that. You know, and then everybody said, wow, that, you know, it had an audience, and stuff like that. Real World, everybody said, well, you know, then and then we had an MTV series called My So-Called Life following, and that was a show, but people resonated to that. And then all of a sudden, people said, well, why not start these reality shows, you know, and watch people have a train wreck? Because the brother asked earlier, why is it news when a crime happens thousands of miles away from you? You want to see self-destruction because your life
is
so...
That's a good point that Def Shepard make, because sometimes I want to know, sometimes we're so full with national, international news, sometimes I want to know, hey, what's going on in my own community here in Mississippi?
Exactly, but the reason and the answer to his question is, we have a bloodlust. We want to see somebody self-destruct because we said, I'm tired of going through drama. I want to see somebody else go through drama. I'm tired. I want to see somebody else suffer. I'm tired, you know, and like probably, you know, there's a term that came out. I didn't make
and
it
then,
up, y'all.
And then someone suffers shouldn't drive us.
But you know, it gets us off, you know, and I'll even talk to your audience right now. I'll introduce a word they probably heard it before called poverty porn. It gets us off. You know, how many times you saw yourself watching television shows wherein deprived countries don't have food, they don't have money, they're poor, and you got a guy on there, I'm saying, let's raise this money for them, and then, you know, you'll sit down and watch a whole night of that, but you won't give any money, you won't give anything, but you, like, you feel sorry, you sit down and cry, you're like, oh, that's sad. You know, and it becomes like pornography to us because we watch it and watch and watch it, but we don't affect change. And that you know, and I call that poverty porn, and a lot of other people call it poverty porn. And
wow.
You know, wow, you I got some videos. I'm trying to tell you, but but that's real talk though. You know, to answer that brother's question, you know. This is the reason we watch stuff like the Doherty's and we watch stuff like reality TV, because you want to see that train wreck. You want to see what's going to happen. Like Oprah Winfrey has the Oxygen Channel, and she got something called the Bad Girls Club, wherein they grab a group of troubled girls, make them all live together for like 2 or 3 months, and watch them self-destruct with one another, and that makes for good TV. And you know, and people will say how ratchet that is, how terrible that is, but rape.
But you know what reality? You know what reality shows that I like are shows that are like maybe industry driven or career driven, like shows like for instance, talking to you two. You are an executive producer of many web series now, and delving into independent filmmaking. Def Shepard is a financial advisor and pretty much like a life coach to me. You know, because
right.
He really advises us on how to live better, improved lives. I mean, are you two are not good subjects to have reality shows?
Well, I think
you know, it's
the
quality of the reality shows too.
Now, when I talk about reality, and here's me with the reality show. I want to see something, and this is what I was saying earlier. You know, this is a real good segue because I was saying, like, you know. People are tuning into reality TV, and that's taking away the job of actors. That's taking away programming that you grew up watching, that you enjoy watching, because it seems like that's taking over TV. So what I've seen and what I've noticed is that, and I'll talk about coming from the person of color, the people of color. I wanted to see more black people in film, more people of color in film, and they got this series now called The Walking Dead, and it's like, you know, someone made the joke.
And maybe from the deep south, the diversity of the south.
Talking about diversity on television and movies and film, you know, and stuff like that. So you sound like my mom.
And see, my mom was always concerned about me being that token when I was, you know, always talking about being famous actress. My mom was always concerned about me being a token.
But my concern
has always been to get typecast. My thing is, I don't mind being a token. I would be a token.
Right.
But because you use your good what you're token for.
But my thing is being typecast.
I wouldn't want to get typecast in a certain role. I'm known as only this one role,
you know,
type of character.
And this is how I'm coming at it, you know. As a filmmaker, I'm saying, like, I want to be a philanthropist to African-American films. web series and stuff like that, just to see our faces for our self-esteem and stuff like that. You know, we talk about what can you do when you see people killing, dropping out of school at alarming rates, when you compare your race to other races and stuff like that. And, you know, you have to take responsibility sooner or later for yourself, you know, for your, you know, you can say that, you can say, well, them, but then it comes to the fact you have to become them. You know, like, we can say we are unemployed or whatever, you know, but if we are going to school for jobs that are out there, you know, like, just say, for example, all the jobs are engineering jobs, and you go into school to learn how to make Play-Doh. And when you graduate, you know how to make Play-Doh, but ain't no jobs making Play-Doh, you know.
Exactly.
We got to take reality for that. So getting back to this, like I said, I wanted to get involved with films, you know, wherein, like I said, The Walking Dead, they were making fun of, like, only one black person on that show, you know. If one black person comes to town, another black person got to leave. Or if one black person comes down, another black person got to get killed. Do you have to only have one black person at a time? And that was a running joke for that series or whatever. But, you know,
here in the Deep South, we really would like for the rest of America and the world to see the diversity of the Deep South, with Def Shepherd being in Nashville and I'm in Mississippi and Love Dallas. You know, the Deep South, we really would like the rest of the country and the world to see the diversity of the South.
But that's where it comes. That's where it comes in independent films and indie films. Now, I want to shout out, you know, while I'm on here, I want to shout out Dennis Dortch and Numa Pierre, how you say your name, girl? Pierre. I'm about to speak in Turkish to this girl last name. Perrier. Numa, big ups, love you, girl. Dennis Dortch and Numa Perrier, they're creating something like BET on YouTube. It's called Black and Sexy TV. If you haven't checked it out yet, you want to check it out. They feature people of color web series with romantic comedies and stuff like that. Black and Sexy TV on YouTube. So if you're listening to this broadcast, definitely when you log off, go check that out on YouTube. I got involved with them because you know, I think that they're going to be the next BET and stuff like that. So I partnered with them on a lot of their projects and stuff like that. Again, Dennis Dortch and Numa Pierre, you know, they're my role models right now, you know.
Issa, I love your YouTube channel, Issa Rae. Your YouTube channel,
you know,
is awesome.
Rae is another, you know, when I said these are people I'm aspiring to be after, because we're talking about what we want to see.
Tell people about your duties of investing in independent films and about iDiegogo crowdfunding. And I'm sure Deb Shepherd knows a lot about, with crowdfunding. But talk about your involvement with the crowdfunding site iDiegogo.
That's what happened with me, you know, when I saw Issa doing, you know, she became a distributor. She's taking it to the next level, and you know, she's going to take it to some of these YouTube shows she's developing, and she's going to get them to TV. So she's executive produced some of Dennis and Numa's projects and stuff like that. And so when I saw what Issa was doing and how she was executive producing these things and taking them to the next level, again, that's another one of my role models, you know, and stuff like that. So I'm following her. She's going to be like another Sylvia Rod. What's that young lady that does Grey's Anatomy and Scandal? Sylvia Rose. I forget her name, but you know, that's who Issa is to me. And so when I saw the internet going this, I said, well, that's the direction of the new media. You know, people are going to leave TV and come to the internet, and the new televisions. If you go to these shows or these
I love Nashville
shows.
And Scandal. ABC has really done its thing. I'm loving Nashville. Deb Shepherd, do you watch Nashville?
Shows.
If you're in Nashville, do you watch Nashville?
No, I don't watch any mainstream TV. I've got
Oh,
Netflix.
Yeah.
See that proves
I love
point.
Nashville.
So that in the techie world, at these shows or whatever, the new TVs are being developed for the internet because you know, more people are on the internet now than are, you know, watching television and whatnot. And you can just say that there are more computers than people in the world today. There are more cell phones than people in the world today.
Wow.
So when you look at that technology to human ratio, you got to say, I better get involved with this. You know, just like with Facebook, right? So I said to myself, I said, well, let me partner with them and stuff like this. So I seen these crowdfunding sites. You know, I said, I want to get involved with them, but I don't have a lot of know-how in the background in it. So how can I get involved with that? So you know, I found these sites. This is called Indiegogo.com, IndieGogo.com. Indiegogo.com is where a lot of creative thinking people go at to raise money for their ideas, whether it's film, whether it's music, and they give you what they call perks. So it said, if you help me with my invention, with my recording of my album, or with my making of my film or my web series, I will give you this. And I found out they were giving away executive producer credits and producer credits if you contribute a certain amount of money. And you will have a say-so in the series, like a web series. You can have a walk-on in the series. They'll write a part for you on that series and stuff like that. You know, you'll get a credit on the series. And, you know, and it brings you into the business. And so
they have different categories at this site, too. Art, film, music, even there are sites for
exactly.
Health. I even see people raising funds for personal reasons like surgery and charitable causes also.
Exactly.
Okay. I just wanted to include that little
point. Wife was sick and whatnot, and they raised money for her to have her treatment and stuff like that. So these crowdfunding sites, you guys, you know, those of you that's trying to do anything, you know, and stuff like that, if you're tired of, you know, you say, I want to do something, I want to create an album, I want to create a film, I want to do whatever, but I just don't have the money, crowdfunding sites are the way to do it. You know, that's your answer right now. You got a lot of them out there. You know, you got Kickstarter. Mine is Indiegogo.com, which I look at a lot because, like, when I was building my so-called empire, I said I want to have a roster of films that I executive produce. I network with filmmakers who are making films, and they said, you know what? They said, you know, for example, and I'll talk about some of the films first. Reagan Gomez and stuff like that, this actress out here that a lot of you guys seen her on
love
television.
Love her. Many of you are familiar with Reagan Gomez.
Seen her in a lot of animations and stuff like that on television. What she's done is like, you know, she's
what was the popular
together.
Sitcom? What was the popular sitcom that she was a star in the past?
Proud. It was an animation. I want to say Proud. Proud of Penny. One of those animations. Proud.
She was
It was
Proud
an animation.
Family, but then there was a sitcom when she was real young.
I don't want to say was it Robert Townsend? Was it LL? Yeah.
No, you talking about Robin? Oh, Bay Bay Kids. Was she a voice on Bay Bay Kids? But
you
then
know,
also she was. But
you know what,
I love networking with her.
I'm like, you know what, Reagan? I ain't gonna do you like that. I'm gonna have your stuff out right here, right now, so I can.
And I love her.
You remember the Cleveland Show that was in 2009, right? It was like the cartoon.
Yeah.
The black family called the Cleveland Show. She was in that. She was in Jerry Maguire in '96. Remember, you guys remember that?
Yes.
A lot of us probably remember her from.
And then when she was like a preteen, she was like a star. It was like a real hot.
Yeah,
TV show, like a family show.
With Robert Towns, it was called The Parenthood.
Yeah, The Parenthood.
A lot of us remember
her
from that, you know.
Yeah, I just wanted to let people know.
And Dysfunctional Friends, like, you know, she was in this series, like, recently called Dysfunctional Friends. And you have
she gets starred in a lot of music videos. Her husband is a well-known rap artist. And so she gets starred in a lot of music videos also, like T.I. and others.
Exactly. So these were things she did and stuff like that. You know, she did a lot of voiceovers. Like, voiceover is like the new thing now too for these animations. They call actors
and say,
you know, you want to do, you know, you want. We need you for the Cleveland Show. How do you feel about that? And that's a new look, a good look for actors. You know, trying to get into something like, if you can't get any acting roles because of TV, whatever, animation. Think about it. If you got one of the voices that, you know, might translate, you know, get you an agent and whatnot, you know, and hey, you know, definitely get involved.
You notice what I noticed too, a lot of well-known actors and actresses are doing voiceovers for commercials. I'm always like watching, whenever I'm watching like my favorite commercial, and then I realize why the commercial is my favorite, because it's the voice of one of my favorite actresses or actors.
See, your poet just listening out there, that might be a route for you. Karen Gibson Rock, she's a friend of mine and whatnot. Me and her husband got down on a film together. She used to have this big old afro, Angela Davis afro, took over the poetry scene and whatnot, you know, doing her thing and whatnot. She picked up one of those cell phone commercials, Verizon. I think she got a Verizon commercial where she's just doing poetry, talking about the Verizon phone. You know, so a lot of people are taking their skills, you know, and the industry, and like the brother was talking about earlier, the corporations are making money off of you. You know, so if you can make money off of whatever you do,
yeah, that's a good point that
Jeff
brought
you.
Up. Make a point that everything is a corporation.
If you're making money, I guarantee you, if you start making money, like if you get like a lot of viewers on this show, and just say you take your own website, like you're doing on this blog talk, just say you get your own website and you show your viewers and whatnot, and if they find out you're getting like 1 million hits or 10,000 hits a day or whatever, I guarantee you advertisers will come to you and want to give you money. And this is one thing
exactly,
I gotta say,
because this show is a hot show. But
you know,
I want to emphasize
Russell Simmons got a book out about, you know, rich and whatnot, getting rich or whatever. But his technique was talking about you got to give away, you got to plant a seed for it to grow, right? That's what you do in nature. You plant it and then it grows. And so he talks about in the music industry, like you give away stuff for free, like, you know, you give away free CDs, free whatever. That's how business, and then it brings business. You go in any mall, they spraying you, right? And with colognes, perfumes, they're giving that away, and then business come back. Well, that's the same with the industry and whatnot. You get up on there, like you say, on the website, and people seeing you, you know, giving away your content for free, and all these people are watching you, like your views are worth money now. And so on YouTube, you know, I find you getting 1 million views. Like for example, one of the series, Roomie Lover Friend, you know, also part of that Issa is on that, Dennis and Numa write on. That show gets like 100,000 views every episode and stuff like that. So you can imagine how that's going to turn into money and stuff like that. So what I did, they said, like, Dean, you know, we're looking for, you know, people to executive produce this thing. So depending on how much you contribute, we'll give you freedom to interact with this. You'll have more say-so in this series. And I was like, oh, for real? So if I give this much, I can appear in the series. If I give this much, I'll be an executive producer in the series. And that's how these crowdfunding sites work. You know, they give out – you don't just give money just to give money. They give you perks. You get stuff back. So those of you that's listening and want to get involved in the web series, I believe web series are the future. I think they're going to not take the place of television, but they're going to be that alternative that every – like it's going to be a go-to. And like I said, Black and Sexy TV – it's going to be like the new BET on YouTube, y'all. So, if you're tired of the news and you want to get some romantic comedy and you want to laugh, you know, and whatnot, that's where you want to be at. You want to be at these series. And I'll just name some that I'm involved with. Rumor Lovey Friend.
Please do.
Rumor Lovey Friend. And I'll talk briefly because I see me down to 12 minutes. Rumi Lovey Friend.
We're down live streaming for 12 minutes, but we can go over time. You two are online, so anybody that try to call after 12 minutes won't be able to get in, but we can continue to talk on. But do your best to get your information in before the live streaming, because some listeners, especially overseas, they'll have to listen. They're listening only to the live stream. They'll have to listen to the archive show to get all the information.
Right. And like I said, so Dennis Dorch and Numi Perrier, they write on this show that I'm involved with called Roomie Lover Friend, and the premise of the show is that can you have a roommate of the opposite sex and not have feelings for it? Or can you hook up with somebody one time and not be the only one time and you don't have no feelings for it? So, you know, they experiment with this idea where she runs her own business, Tamiko, and, you know, she has her own condo or whatever, and she wanted a roommate, but instead of a girl, she applied for a guy to be the roommate. And, they hooked up one time, and she told her friends, I hooked up with my tenant. Will he still respect me and pay rent like he's supposed to? You know,
oh, my God. That story sounds kind of familiar, does it not, Dean?
I'm just saying, hey, and you know, you'd be like, hey, what's really going on? And that story right there, that's Roomie Lover Friend right there. That's our series. Again, getting 100,000 hits because it sounds familiar to a lot of people, and they want to know how is she going to navigate around that is having a male roommate, you know. And you guys, if y'all want to talk about that too, like I said, again, we still got about 12 minutes. 714-409-0614. How did you deal with it when you slept with your roommate, but you still wanted them to pay rent? You know, I'm just saying.
Like you tease me about my artist. But I want to ask Jeff Shepherd because he's happily married. Gentlemen, how was your Valentine's Day and weekend?
We went and had dinner like the day after or 2 days after. We don't go out when it's, you know, just crowded because the restaurants get really, really bad. So we usually just kind of hang loose. And then, like, if it falls on a weekday or something, we'll wait until that next weekend. But, yeah, I mean, it was nice. We didn't do really anything in particular. Because
every day is a special day. And that's what I told Dee. If I had me a Valentine, a romantic Valentine, I definitely would have made it a weekend thing. Like you all did, you know, yeah.
It's your excuse to let down your hair a little bit, you know, and you know, spoil yourself. Like again, even the people who are single, that's your day. You can go to a spa, spend money on yourself. Because a lot of times people forget about.
Because this morning, Dean, I didn't know if you were going to be a show or not this morning. Being a happy bachelor, I didn't know if you were going to be a show this morning.
Well, you know. I plan mine way in advance. I'm just saying, and it was like the Mardi Gras. It was a couple of days celebration, and it was boom. And but today is like hey, it's Monday and stuff like that, you know. And it was a good day. And,
So Wednesday we're gonna talk about the afterfits of Valentine's Day. You know, keeping that love, keeping everything alive. After Valentine's Day, because every day should be like Valentine's Day.
Right. I want to plug real briefly because we down to 9 minutes. I want to plug these other two real quick. So Roomie Lover Friend, definitely go on YouTube. Check out that web series. I'm involved. I'm executive producer on that on season two. I missed season one because I fell in love with the series now. So season two, you're going to see me all over that. There's this series in the UK I'm involved with called Brothers with No Game.
Please talk about that because a lot of UK listeners and supporters are tuned in. Shout out to Philly Cortez of Woho Films. I know she's listening. My bud straight out of London. So please tell us more.
UK. I'm going to be involved with season two of that series. Again, these are our web series. They're usually like 9 episodes that you put out on the web and stuff like that. The goal, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll see them on the BBC real soon. It's about like 4 friends who have a social awkwardness with women and stuff like that. And you watch them like, have you ever been in a situation wherein, and guys, if you're listening, you're friends with this girl, but you like her more than a friend. But you don't tell her. You're in the friend zone, and she got you dropping her off at her boyfriend's house or people
she's
sitting with, but she flirts with you and she knows you like her or whatever, but because you haven't came out and said nothing, she still leaves it in the friend zone.
Deb Shepherd's gone, but you all can visit his website at debshepherd.com and sign up for his newsletters because he shares good financial advice. Okay.
That's what's up. So again, you know, and Brothers with No Game, definitely go to YouTube, check out this web series. These 4 socially awkward brothers or whatever with women. And one of them, you know, he drives her all the way across town to a jump off and whatnot. But they just went out on a
date. Oh, my God.
Had a good dinner, good conversation, but they only friends. And then she gets a phone call of her boyfriend, you know, that shows a picture of his chest and whatnot and says, can you come over? And she says, that's way out of town. She doesn't have a car. And she looks to him, can you drop me over to his house? Now, a lot of guys would be like, no, I'm not going to do it. But a lot of guys, because you like her, you do that. And when she's finished with her boyfriend, she calls you to come pick her up. You know, because he don't want to talk to her. He just want to have sex with her, but he doesn't want to talk to her. You are her talk to guy after sex. You know, you might be listening to this call and call up in this. So you will enjoy the series. We also enjoy the series about being unemployed and dating and stuff like that. You know, and she wanted to go to this really expensive restaurant. He just met this girl. He didn't know how to tell her he was unemployed. So she went out to this really expensive restaurant, and he kept running to the bathroom, asking his friend, "I need you to put money on my card." You know, and she kept ordering expensive stuff. And one thing about, you know, putting money on your card, it don't get there right away. Sometimes if it's a weekend, sometimes it arrives on your card if you do a money transfer the next day, or it takes a couple of hours. And he didn't take this into effect and whatnot. So he's sitting there at the dinner table with this first date, first impression, and it just goes bad, y'all. So definitely want to check that out. You know, a couple other things I'm willing with, Unwritten Rules and stuff like that. You again, you know, I don't have time to go into all of these, but, you know, a very, very, very funny show about,
you
know.
You have time. We, the show can go on over of the 5 minutes that you see. But you want to get in what you want to get in before the live streaming stop, but you have time.
Excellent. And, you know, Unwritten Rules and stuff like that. You know, I'll have a thank you credit on that. I'm not executive producing that one, but, you know, I have, you know, been involved with it, and you're going to see my name in one of the thank you credits on there. But the other two that I talked about, like Roomie, Lover, Friend, definitely go on YouTube. I'm going to be one of the executive producers in season two. And,
I've tweeted out, what did I tell you, the second episode?
Exactly.
Out on Twitter. Yeah.
That was funny.
And it's on Facebook and everywhere else. And I Google Plus it also.
And again, Brothers With No Game, again, although that's in the UK, you definitely can understand it. It's funny. You know, watching these four guys interact with their girlfriends. Have you ever had a girlfriend? She moved away and whatnot, and you went on with your life, but you was in love with her, and she moves back. She comes back and tells you she wants you to move back with her. She got a plane ticket for you. What would you do? I mean, y'all was about to get engaged, but then you chickened out the last minute. She flies off to another country, and she comes back a year or so later. You got your life going with somebody else, but you still got those feelings you ain't got over yet. And she's like, "I got a plane ticket, and I still got love for you. What's really going on? Would you leave?"
Exactly.
You know,
I've talked about that before starting conversation here on blogtalkradio.com. Would you relocate for love?
Exactly.
A lot of people
do.
And he
had one of those kind of jobs we're in. He's a techie guy, so he can get a job anywhere with computers, with teaching, or whatever. And so would you leave? Again, another one, Nia Malika Dixon, a Muslim sister friend of mine. We all remember the show The Wire when it was on television on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this web series is similar to that, like The Wire and stuff like that. You know, you have this young man, he has to make a decision. He got – everyone is pulling him. He just has a newborn, and his baby mom is saying, "You need to be a father and come out the streets." But his boys on the streets are saying, "We need your guidance here on these streets and whatnot, because we not real good on our own on these streets." And then the church is pulling on him like, "You was raised a Muslim. You know better than this." So he's being pulled in three directions. How many times have you found yourself being pulled in three directions and stuff like that? Everybody wants you to be, so she wants you to be a good father. They want you to be a good Muslim or whatever. And this one wants you to be a good thug, good gangster, and, you know. And all three of them, you enjoy all three of them, you know. And so you got to choose between three loves, being a gangster, being a dad, or being a church person, you know. And a lot of us are making that decision now wherein we like, you know, I have to make a decision, you know, like, which one am I going to choose, you know? So definitely, you know, definitely check that out. I believe that the internet is going to be that go-to thing. You know, you're tired of watching the same thing on TV and stuff like that, you know, watching the same shows or whatever, and you don't see sitcoms anymore. You don't see enough black people. Like, you know, you're watching The Walking Dead, and it's like, only one of us, you know, but they show Roots like crazy, so they got things they want to put.
You're taking me somewhere. You've been watching Roots. You and my mom need to on the same page. You and my mom could have tea together.
See,
my mom has been talking all month. Well, I am pointing this, but people need to watch Roots.
I'm saying, you know, don't forget. I'm just saying, you know, because, like, isn't it amazing how they would put Roots on reruns? Plenty of black people in Roots. I don't know.
But Whoopi Goldberg said need to be televised again on ABC.
Give some of these out-of-work black people a role to play. I'm just saying, you know how many black people was in Roots? I mean, that was a lot of black people got work in Roots. I'm just saying. So, you know,
exactly. And if I say, I said Roots is important for everybody to see.
Yeah, everybody was working. But see, you said, do we got to be a slave to get a role on TV? I'm just saying.
Exactly.
You know, I got questions. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
I'm putting it in Hollywood. You know, so what I say is, as an independent filmmaker, executive producer, you have to take some kind of responsibility for your vision and say, if you don't see enough of us on television, you have to make that happen. I mean, you know, there's a point where you got to stop complaining and you got to become part of the solution. You know, I believe that's how BET came about, you know, and how these other entities came about, you know, even though white people do support them, you know, don't
okay,
hate
you
on
can be found. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm trying to get your information in. Tell everybody your profile at Indiegogo.
Find me on just find me. Just go to YouTube and find me on Filmmaker Dean and whatnot. You know, you'll find me on there and stuff like that. And just look me up. Just look up when you see these films and stuff like that. Like another film called Jaya, Pooja Maywald, the young lady, the student film that she went to Mumbai, India to make. It's a film about a young Indian girl who was orphaned, and she joined a gang in Mumbai, India, and everybody thought she was a boy until the police finally caught up with her a couple of years later. Who is this notorious gangster that everybody's scared of and all that? And they find out that it's a girl and not a boy. So that's a good story. And then it's a story about a girl who gets orphaned, and she finds her father, and he don't want nothing to do with her. So that even sends her even crazier into the streets, you know, stuff like that. So definitely check that out.
And she finds her father when she's not, because she's not looking for her father. She just so happens to find him, right?
While she's in the streets, she happens to see him one day, and, you know, and she's told that that's her father. And,
is he a part of the gang culture, too?
No, he's a part of the corporate business culture. And,
whoa!
And he doesn't want to have anything to do with her because he looks down on her like, you know, what do you want? You know, I probably just laid with your mother back in the day. Just get me some, you know. I don't want nothing to do with you. You a gangster. I don't want nothing to do with you. Get away. What, you want money? And ain't that the first thing they say, you know, you find your estranged children. And that is a logical thing. You know, you ain't know you had a kid or whatever. And then 15 years later or whatever, you know, 12 years later, somebody show up. Hey, daddy, you'd be like, what's really going on? You got my eyes, my nose, but you ain't getting my money. You ain't going to get my money, you know. But that's a reality, you know. So definitely that's a film that I'm involved with called Jaya. I'll talk about that more once we get that released and stuff like that. Pooja Maywal, again, you know, she's a film student. You know, I got involved with that project as executive producer on that film because I believed in that film. And I wanted to do some overseas stuff because, like, again, I'm all about, you know, the people of color and getting our film and our stories told. It doesn't always have to be an American film, you know, because when you look at a diaspora of people in color, we are in every city, we are in every country, you know, we are in every crevice. You're going to find somebody that, you know, got wide nose, full lips, full hips, pretty eyes, you know.
So that's probably another reason why you like networking with Ebony Empress, also from UK, because her goal is to, you know, to do, you know, she's a relationship expert, and her thing is love is universal. So to really have a good rapport between the US and the UK in regards to love.
Exactly.
And finding love and getting the right mate, because that right mate might not be in your same country.
and plus, if you love the accent, I love accents, so I love that.
Oh, I'm a sucker for. I want to say sucker, but yeah, y'all know that. You know, my second husband was Egyptian. But you know what? I'm not just a sucker for foreign accents. Also for our regional accents. You know,
that's what I'm saying. For men, and I think it's like the same with you ladies, too.
We have different accents, too. Like,
we love,
New Orleans accents
are
amazing.
We love Southern accents. We love that patois when they talk like this. Y'all know what I mean. Y'all know when I talk it like this.
And those New York accents. Oh, my God. Midwest accents.
Exactly.
I love America. Yeah.
Those accents are so, talk about aphrodisiacs. Those.
Exactly. But I'm like
accents,
you. And people, anybody that knows me knows I'm a sucker for foreign accents, especially sexy guys that get my attention. Like, oh, my God.
I think she just had a moment. I'm just saying, y'all. She had a moment. Had a flashback. I'm just saying. See, if you watch some of these web series, we dealing with different people like that. You know, you're gonna find different races and stuff like that. You're gonna find Indian. You know, in my movies, you're gonna find black people. You're gonna find all kind of people of color
working. Okay, listen. This in our own utopia world, if you were The Bachelor, how would you like your 25 women to be? Diverse, or all black, or all white? Because if I was a bachelorette, I would like my 25 guys to be filled with that diversity. And, you know, and not just Americans, but guys from all over the world.
The answer to that question, I would say that, you know, they found, the DNA evidence proves that, they say as a body was found in Africa or whatever, that they have found Eve, y'all. Everybody came from black. So there is no such thing as a non-black. Everybody got black in them. You know, they just might be.
Exactly.
When
you sound like Tony Brown. When I first met Tony Brown, that was one of the first stories that he really shared with me, that we all are of the human race, one race, and that race comes from what you're just talking about.
You know, and with that said, that DNA, I have access to all of the women in the world because they are all from my race. I'm just, you know, just keep it real. You can't say, you dating out of your race. I said, show me the DNA.
I see what you're saying. You look at all women are from your race anyway.
Exactly.
Oh, good point.
I kind of like how you said that all right there. So she is screaming, y'all. I'm just saying.
Okay.
So
your 25 ladies would be of all race, of different races, but because of bottom line, they from your race anyway.
My argument is that they would be the same race because, you know, the culture might be there, but the same is like, I would say have all of them take blood test. And when they show you their DNA, they all have that gene in them, and hopefully they're going to have me. Hopefully they're going to have me in them at the end of the exam. But I said, does she have that gene?
No.
She said she had that gene. She had that gene in her. I said, all right, you about to have that other thing in you. I'm just saying. So that's what's up, you know, multi-caste, multi-racial. Love, I don't think that love had no color. You're my brother.
I need to get Lamar Hurd on here because he wants to be the first bachelor that happens to be African-American. So I networked with him on Twitter after he was guest on Tom Jordan Morning Show one morning, and he seemed like
a
really cool guy. But Tom Jordan got on him, he and Sybil and Jesse Bryan. They was like, now you get on there. Are all your 25 girls going to be Caucasian? You got to have some sisters on there.
But that's the thing right there. You know, a lot of people are single right this second because they're not dating out of their race, or they're not dating out of their city, or they're not dating out of their...
Yeah.
Just think how many of your opportunities will open up if you dated outside your neighborhood, outside your city, outside your...
That's
state.
A good point. Just outside your neighborhood. That's a good point right there.
See, because a lot of people... You got a lot of people like, well, you ain't from my hood, or you're not from my state, or you're not from my race, or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, that you limit yourself, you know, opportunity or whatever like that. So I'm just... You know, I'm equal opportunity. I'm just saying, and which brings me back to mental illness. Yo, I'm saying.
Oh Lord.
Whenever
we dabble on love, it seems like you reflect back to mental illness.
But because it's
you
a,
don't
it's
think
a
people are crazy
thing,
in love, do you?
Hey, I got two films I'm promoting dealing with mental illness, and so when I heard that about that young lady, the country star. Who committed suicide and stuff like that. I said, a lot of people keep their mental illness a secret, and you don't find out about it until you get involved with them, you know. And in the movie Jelly Smoke that we're doing, we got Michael Ealy in it. You see him in the movie Barbershop. A lot of you seen him in the Sleeper Cell, the HBO thing that came on, or maybe it was Showtime. But he's been in a lot of indie films lately. And so he's in this Jelly Smoke indie film that I'm doing. And he plays a person with bipolar trying to keep it a secret. And and it comes to a head one day when his girlfriend says, "Watch her child," or whatever. He, you know, in his bipolarism or whatever, you know, he takes the child, to a playground, stuff like that, or just, you know, to have a good day out, you know, ice cream, stuff like that, and forgets to call the mom. She's blowing up the phone or whatever, whatever. And because of his bipolar, he switched into that kid mode wherein, you know, he having fun with the kid and just enjoying himself. And he forgot all about her. So she called the police. She called, "Where my child at?" Well, somebody picked him up from the school and, you know, happened to look just like your boyfriend. You know, and she said, "Why did he call? What's really going on?" You know. And so, you know, so she, and then he confesses to her, you know, that I got bipolar, and sometimes my thoughts be racing, and, you know, sometimes I don't think like I should, and I find myself in situations. And she was like, and he said, and she walked away from him. He said, but she said, "It'd be nice you tell me that in the beginning of the relationship." You know, so for me, they deal.
It's good to find things out at the beginning.
You know, but you know, in his defense, you know, that could be a deal breaker in that dinner date. You know, getting a second date. You want them to be into you before you tell that. You know that way. Especially if you like the person, you're not going to just say, "Hey, by the way, you know I'm bipolar sometime, right? You know I'm a Gemini." I'm just saying. Hey, what's really going on? You know,
I know, that's right.
And so they're not going to come out and say that because that's a private thing. And when you just meet people, you don't tell them your deepest personal. I'm sure that when you first meet people, you don't tell them your pain and your personal private stuff that you're dealing with until you know how long that person's going to be in your life. You probably like, this is
exactly.
Because
I think some people think I tell a lot. I really don't. I share things because people share things with me, but there are a lot of private things that are private, or things that I do talk with listeners or supporters of the show, or people that I know in private, in a private form, and either on the phone, in person, or messages. Because you and I, we're very open, and people see this, but
right.
We do have a stuff that we know that we don't. It's private.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And see, you almost told yourself, girl. I'm trying to tell you.
But my thing is, I think it's good for us to be open. I'm glad that you call in, and it seems like we're really opening up. It's good to open up. The more we open up and talk about certain topics and even our own lives, the more listeners will call in and share
I listen to this call in the archives. If you want to get down with this project, the film I'm talking about is called Jelly Smoke. And whatnot. Mark Banning, filmmaker, director on this and stuff like that. He's on Kickstarter right now, raising money for this film because we won a lot of awards, y'all, for this film already, you know, and stuff like that. But we just don't have distribution for it yet. That's where you come in.
Please explain the importance of shopping your finished products and exactly shopping for distribution. Deals,
yeah.
And marketing, and it's really good if you can get a marketing and distribution deal. You know, that's what I'm a guru in, marketing. It's good to get a marketing and distribution deal. But if you can handle your own marketing,
it's really important
to get that distribution deal.
This is where people like my hero that I talk about, Issa Rae, comes in. She's a distributor, you know. She comes along, she sees something that Dennis and Numa's putting together on Black and Sexy TV, and she says, "You know what? I'm gonna get it out to the masses. I'm gonna do a marketing campaign, and I'm going to get, you know, so many views on YouTube for this. I'm gonna take it and make it into a film or movie, or I'm gonna take it to TV." Like she's like taking one of the idea. She's talking with the writer of the movie Scandal, of the TV series Scandal, Sean Lennon.
I love Scandal.
And
she's
going to develop a television series about, you know, how the men in L.A. ain't no good or whatever. I'm just saying.
Yeah, go ahead and elaborate. We want to hear about that.
don't know about the exact title yet, but that's in the works and whatnot. It's probably a romantic comedy, most likely. But Issa Rae is a distributor, so that's who you want to find. You know that's why you put your stuff on YouTube. So distributors, people who want to invest in you and stuff like that, and take your project to another level. So that's who I'm patterning myself after, Issa, right now.
I love our YouTube channel.
Exactly.
Film festivals? What about film festivals? And this past weekend, I tell you, I had an amazing time on a teleconference with the International Screenwriters Association, and they were talking about they talked about different subject matters. They were really talking about horror film, but they delved into romantic comedies and other type of film genres also. And one participant asked them the question, "What's a good length for a script to be?" You know, especially when you're like you're talking about independent filmmaking, but in regards to, you know, shopping your script around, getting it into the right hands. And this participant said that he had heard that scripts should be no longer than 105 nowadays. And they put emphasis on it that it can be up to 125 pages. So that's just some information I want to share. When you get invites, and network with these different filmmaking organizations. Like here in Mississippi, check out filmmississippi.org. Right now, Ward Emily, who's executive director of filmmississippi.org, and Mississippi has some amazing incentives. So you got independent filmmakers and major filmmakers, you know, check out the directory and see what really attracts you. There are areas that the travel costs you can find a cost-effective way of getting to Mississippi to make your film probably for half the cost than you do it with if you're in California or elsewhere. I guess I'm sounding like Rick Perry now, talking about coming to Texas. But visit filmmississippi.org and sign up to get information, because remember, back to what Dean was saying, international companies go to various places. And I know for a fact the company that develops, that creates Twilight, Ward Emily made an announcement a few days ago, they would be making 3 films, horror films, here in Mississippi. You know,
exactly.
So it is all about internationally networking. Networking within your communities, and networking like Dean and I are networking. We got this Mississippi, California thing happening. You know, and he said he's coming to Atlanta and he's going to come to Dallas. So, it's all about us just effectively networking.
And this film, Jelly Smoke, it won, talking about festivals, you know, we won honors at the Los Angeles Film Festival in 2006, you know.
Yeah.
We were nominated for an Independent Spirit Award, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, it's like a lot of times, you know, but the goal is always going to be, you want a Hollywood distributor to put you out there, but they give you these awards, like, you know, you get awarded, you know, like the prestigious Prism Award, stuff like that. But you know, sometimes Hollywood, they fall back from these mental illness movies because they like, that's too dark. You know, we want something.
Uh-oh.
You know. And sometimes you have to push. If you believe in something, when Hollywood tells you, you say, look at it, I don't want all these awards for this film, and you say, well, it's time for me to take it somewhere else, to somebody else, you know, and stuff like that. So, you keep, you know, hitting the paint until you find a distributor and stuff like that. So, like, again, a lot of these films have been recorded years ago, like in 2005, 2006, won several film festival awards, but Hollywood's still scared to take a chance on it. So at the end of the day, you might got to just say, you know, boom, we might got to revisit this and go to the cable. You know, and put it on HBO or something, or, you know, like Beyonce did. A lot of y'all just watched Beyonce do her documentary not too long ago and whatnot, the other day.
And see, that's my thing. My project is that, because I'm writing a book about the middle class, and my documentary, Rise, Fall, and Struggles of the Southern Middle Class, but the stories have been going across the country, so the next book would be about the middle class and American middle class, period. But bottom line, the rise, fall, and struggles of the Southern middle class, because so many people are Mississippians live in other, Native Mississippians live in areas like California, New York, and other places, and a lot of people relocate and come down here. So the story is not just about the Southern middle class, because so many of us have different roots and different adopted cities. So, but my thing is to also have a documentary to complement the book. And so that's why I know, just like you.
And at the end of the day, writing our own fun stories
and producing our own stories.
The good thing about the development of these crowdfunding sites now, it takes a village. You know, we can't do it by ourselves. We need financial backers. We need people with filmmaking experience. With cameras, we need actors, you know. So it takes a village.
Hair and makeup, wardrobe. Because I can't wait till I get my esthetician license. I might be planning to open my boutique salon.
I'm looking forward to traveling. I know a lot of beauticians in Atlanta, Georgia. I know a lot of people. I know a lot of photographers that work with. John Blassingame that does Today's Black Woman magazine.
I long time supposed to have been to visit Burbank. Amy, you're probably familiar with Amy Ward. I supposed to have taken one of her classes a long time ago, Ward Studio.
It's
in Burbank, and she teaches some amazing makeup and photography classes.
Shelly Garrett, those that wanted to get into plays, he was doing that same thing, teaching seminars on how to get into plays and stuff like that.
It's all needed. It's a
community we're in, but it's not expensive as people think it is. You know, once you find out a lot of these actors out here, all these actors not working every single day. A lot of them
like
try to make it like you making it. You know, a lot of actors go ahead.
But perfect example, education. I mean, sometimes we talk about how expensive or seminars and education or classes are, but then take advantage of freebies. Like that teleconference I'm telling you all about that was presented by International Screenwriters Association on Saturday, that was a free teleconference, 90 minutes, filled with all type of information.
Wow. It's
ways to where we can cost-effectively, learn things.
I gotta say this too before we run out of time. Again, go to Jelly Smoke the movie by Cliff Jarles and Mark Banning and whatnot. It's on Kickstarter. Just type in Mark Banning and you should see it pop up with
Banning, B A N N I N G.
Correct, Mark Banning.
Okay.
So when you go to Kickstarter in the search thing, just type in Mark Banning. And then you'll see the movie Jelly Smoke that I'm talking about. Again, we're trying to raise $35,000 to, get this thing in
the
festival.
And that's the project that Michael Ealy is a part of.
Exactly. He's on the cover with a cigarette in his mouth and stuff like that, with that fat puppy dog eyes that he usually has, and stuff like that. And women, y'all love Michael Ealy. I'm just saying, y'all went crazy over him. Y'all like, who that dude that was in Barbershop, We got him in this movie, Jelly Smoke, so you definitely want to...
That is so cool.
Make it so we can see it, Again, the movie's done. Just trying to get it to the festivals and get a distributor now and stuff like that. So, again, we need $35,000 more dollars to take this thing. I might take it with me to the U.K., to some people out there as well, I'm dealing with Brothers With No Name out there. So definitely... Definitely, what you can, we got 13 days. See, that's why I hate Kickstarter. We got 13 days, y'all, to come up with $35,000. Say what? But I personally wouldn't have put it on Kickstarter. If I would have talked to Mark before he would have put it on there, I would have went on Indiegogo.com and raised the money on Indiegogo.com. That's what I would have did. But, a lot can happen in 13 days, but... our Kickstarter, I'm thinking about rewinding this whole endorsement thing because in 13 days, if we don't come up with $35,000, that whole $1,845 that's already raised goes back to the people, I think. So we need these funds. We talk about what we want to see and whatnot. So look for that. I'll probably be talking about that movie down the line because I'm going to personally do some things to help get that movie moving forward and stuff like that as well. It's called Jelly Smoke and stuff like that. If you might be that person that has a $35,000 check and you listen because you never know who's listening to these calls or whatever. if you are that person, you know, go to Kickstarter.com and type in Mark Banning, and you know, you'll see Jelly Smoke. It's a movie about a bipolar, and you know how you deal with it, how you hide it, how you live with it, you know. And a lot of, you know, we watch it on television a lot.
And
of
Michael
time.
Ealy is the character with bipolar.
Yes, Michael Ealy's the.
You know, that sounds like a film we definitely need to see because I love his work. Of course, he is gorgeous to look at, but I mean, he is a fantastic actor. I love his work. So I really would love to see him playing his part. Just like I still need to see Silver Lining Playbook before the Oscars on Sunday because, you know, just seeing the clips I've seen, Bradley Cooper, I love me some Bradley Cooper, and for him to play a character of such, I mean, I really want to see. This film in full of that Michael Ealy with this character.
But one more thing. Go to Indiegogo.com if you can, y'all that's listening. Indiegogo.com. Brothers with No Game, still trying to raise some funds for season two. You know, y'all check out the series on YouTube. You like it, contribute to season two, y'all, and stuff like that. It'll be worth your while. You know, it's filmed in the UK, but what they're dealing with, you know, in relationships is something that you can definitely identify with. Brothers with No Game. And, again, that's on Indiegogo.com. No, you know, unlike Kickstarter, your money will go, whether they reach the goal or not, it will go towards season two into the camera, into paying the actors, because these actors don't work for free, y'all. Y'all see them on YouTube. A lot. You think that, you know, they gotta go. They gotta go to castings like everybody else. Gotta go to castings, and you decide, and they gotta feed them. You know,
like I'm working on getting my body in shape, and I need to go see my dentist who is in Dallas. Because as soon as I get things right, I am going to Legacy Casting, so I can work on getting casted on Dallas. If it's just a small background actress role,
hey.
I'm getting casted on Dallas.
Well,
but you know, I'm working in other shows too. It's reality shows too that are filming in Dallas. But I know
don't sleep on these reality shows on YouTube,
yeah.
Because you can, when you contribute to these, you can have us.
But
we'll
my
write
thing
a
is,
role
I,
for,
I have ideas
on,
to produce.
We'll write a scene for you to appear in the episode if you like.
Oh, that's great.
If you like Roomie Lover Friend, you donate a certain amount of money. Just go to Indiegogo.com. Roomie Lover Friend. If you like what you see, you donate a certain amount of money. We'll put you in one of the scenes, you know. And thousands of people on YouTube will watch you acting in their favorite web series. So if you're thinking about acting and whatnot, think about donating. Invest in your craft and whatnot. Put money in, you know, hey. Put money in.
Exactly. Look at Dean. Dean is an actor, comedian. He is a successful promoter. He's promoted comedy events. Well known, radio personality, celebrity journalist. But he's an actor, comedian. But now he is an investor in film. And also,
I'm sure you have your own scripts
too that you plan on producing.
I have two movies registered with Writers Guild of America. I went and got Final Draft Pro. I downloaded that screenwriting software, wrote my own movie. I bought all those writers' market books and researched how to write your own film. And,
me too.
You know. I went to they got the demos that they let you use. So I went to, you know, Final Cut, you know, Final Draft Pro, and it puts your film in a format while you're typing it and whatnot. And then I just registered it with, Writers Guild of America, and stuff like that. And so I'm protected like that. And eventually, after I finish up with these things, later on in the year, I'll probably go on one of the indie sites, and all the relationships that I've created with these filmmakers and actors and whatever, I'll probably put them in some of my into some of my movies that I'm putting together and stuff like that. So it pays to network online, because all the actors that you network with, the filmmakers you network with, when you get ready to put your project out, boom, because you show love, like that Russell Simmons thing said, you know, you sow your seed, you give away stuff free, guess what? It's going to come back on you. you know.
So. Yeah, and I'm getting used to this online network, and I've always have loved networking since I was a little girl, but that's in-person network. And now with the success of the Internet, you literally meet people that you wouldn't meet, like, at your local meeting, like you were saying.
Wow.
I love meeting people in person. So, but at the same time, this online network, Internet networking has
been
amazing.
All the actors you probably
these
online
communities.
All of
exactly.
Actors that save you as a friend, and they really get back to you. You know, these actors that you never meet, but now.
And we were talking about YouTube, and I think Dean didn't realize how much I network on YouTube. And so those of you that I play your music, you know I network on YouTube a lot because that's how we met. But Dean and I have been talking about how amazing YouTube and other our favorite social networking sites are, but especially YouTube.
Because
especially,
exactly.
You know, the web series that you're investing in.
Again,
web...
those YouTube views is turning into money, y'all. So if you're getting 100,000 views, like one of my web series that I'm executive producing or whatever, or one of the executive producers on, you know that the advertiser is going to come at you and say, if you got 100,000 people looking at what you're doing every week, we need those 100,000 people looking at our car or our product that we try to sell. So what if we pay you to advertise on your website? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So YouTube got a way where you can monetize your site too, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, YouTube is a good way to create a buzz about what you're trying to do and to network and stuff like that. But
And what were you saying about crowdfunding? Because we definitely want to hear more about crowdfunding.
I was about to say, if y'all don't remember anything else from this conversation, crowdfunding sites, Indiegogo.com, you know, Kickstarter, and there's a couple of other ones. Just Google crowdfunding websites. They are sites that people will invest in your idea.
And there's a company that loves to educate people on crowdfunding.
Right.
And it's Ariel Publicity, Ariel PR. She works a lot with people in music and film, and she's based in New York. And I was turned on to her through Discmakers, the music company that create discs for
speakers. Discmakers, I used to use them for some of my artists back in the day to make
exactly.
CD covers and all that kind of stuff.
So they turned me on to Ariel. So Ariel, she loves to educate regarding, so, you know, get in touch with her, too. I recommend you, too, to get in touch with her because she loves to talk about the different crowdfunding ways to crowdfund and
exactly.
even hold seminars.
So do you have more information that you can give out?
A webinar. Ariel PR. Yeah, Ariel
okay.
PR. On Twitter, she's Ariel PR.
How are you spelling that?
Yeah, Ariel Publicity. Go ahead and Google ArielPublicity.com. She'd get me if she knew I was. But she's fun to network with. On YouTube, her YouTube channel is Ariel Publicity.
Okay.
So go ahead and subscribe to her channel because she has a lot of videos and talking about crowdfunding.
Wow. That's what's up right
yes.
there. Ariel.
That's what's up.
Publicity.
And sometimes,
right.
sometimes she's PR, but on YouTube she's Ariel Publicity. Yes,
okay.
And she will. Yeah, she has newsletters and her YouTube. She's always posting videos.
I think she calls it cyber PR or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Public relations.
Yes,
exactly.
Uh huh.
I see.
Yes,
I see her right now. Exactly.
You see it? She's
right.
awesome.
Hey, she got a familiar face too. Like I've seen her somewhere before. Ariel Hyatt is her name.
Well, you might have bumped into her when you were promoting artists and comedians.
I'm saying, you know, she's got one of them familiar. I probably don't even know or seen her before, but she's got one of them familiar faces
yeah.
and stuff like that. Her name is Ariel Hyatt on YouTube and stuff like that. You know, those of you just trying to, it says she gets sound advice is a video series that is packed with marketing and PR tips for navigating the world of social media. It's hosted by digital publicist and social media expert Ariel Hyatt of New York City-based, public relations firm and stuff like that. So that she
talks a lot about crowdfunding. If you click on her page now, I know whenever I click on her YouTube channel, I get a letter, an email from her. She's talking about crowdfunding.
Exactly. So that's definitely where you guys want to be. You listen to this call and you want to be, and you're online and you're listening to this show, this archive. You got an idea, but you just don't have the money. Crowdfunding in 2013 is the way to go. Get people excited about what you're doing. But I would suggest, if it was a film, at least get a trailer, because if you want to ask them for something and we can't even see your idea, you know, that makes it harder. So at least get a trailer or something together, you know, or bring somebody on board that will get our interest. Like a lot of people, you know, one or two actors that's recognizable, put them in your, you know, web series or whatever, you know, if you don't have it recorded yet. If it's good writing, you don't need to put famous people in it. You don't have, you know, and stuff like that. But we need to see a trailer at least. So if you're going to put good on one of these crowdfunding sites, at least have a trailer, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, just say, well, we only recorded one episode. You know, hey, at least we can see where you're going and we can help you bring it to fruition. We say, okay, now I'm excited about what I saw. But if you just there sitting, hey, I got an idea. I think you should get down with me on this. You know, unless you are this big person like Spike Lee saying that, you know, we're not going to get down with you usually most of the time. We just say, he ain't even showed us nothing. She ain't show us nothing. Why should I get anything? You know, I ain't seen no. How I know this ain't just for you to buy dinner next week? I don't. What's really going on? I ain't seen no trailer. You know,
exactly. Pay your bills. Pay your bills.
You know, and people are doing that. You know, so definitely get a trailer when you go to the crowdfunding site. If you're a singer, songwriter, I saw this one girl saying, you know, I'm trying to record my demo, but she didn't sing a lick throughout the whole pitch. You better sing something. You better, I mean, hit a note or sing a song of something. You know, if you ask
you sound like Marvin Day when he was getting the Apollonia 6. You better get some.
Hey,
you know when he was getting on everybody. They better get the moving.
They better have this. You better show me something. You know, you up there asking people to on these crowdfunding sites to give you money for your singing so you can get a demo together, and you ain't even gonna sing for the people. See, so you just need to do your due diligence. You know, when you're putting together a promotional thing, if you're trying to get a demo together, sing something. You know, it don't have to be professional, but at least let us know you can sing. You know,
acting. Excuse me, baby, you never done before. That's all it takes. Hey, see, I got a little bit going.
See? You know, in one of my interviews, I interviewed Melba Moore. She used to manage Melissa Morgan. And whatnot. So I'll probably send that interview up to my YouTube channel later on. But that was a real good interview. See, you know, a lot of people that we knew, who knew that Melba Moore was behind the scenes? See, that's where the money at, y'all. Melba Moore was managing Nige, the saxophone player, Freddie Jackson, you know, and you know what Freddie did, you know, come on and rock me.
He's a Facebook friend of mine too, so I'm glad you mentioned him. If you're listening, Freddie, what's up? Need to come on the show.
And who else was it? Melissa Morgan, Freddie Jackson, Nige. You know, Whitney Houston. A lot of her songs were written by Melba Moore's writing team. So when you talk about behind the scenes, you know, it might be something that you might want to get into. There's a lot of money to be made in this industry behind
exactly.
the scenes, you know. If you say, well,
I have some songs and poetry that I know need to be recorded, and it would be hits, and if they're not hits, they're good songs, you know.
Exactly.
But most definitely.
And like Consequence on a show, Love and Hip Hop, a reality show on television right now, he's a songwriter. He's written for a lot of people out there that y'all thought wrote that song, but he wrote it, you know, and stuff like that. And that's the reality of the industry right now. The singer that you see right now, the majority of the time, this is their first album, they ain't write none of them songs, you know. So at the end of the day, they go platinum. Guess who's getting rich? Not the singer, not the artist, but the person who wrote the song, stuff like that, the person who produced the song.
Exactly.
You know. And that's just the reality of this thing. So
when Donna Summer passed away, some people thought she was broke, thought she died broke, and some people was in shock to hear that she's a multimillionaire. But it's because,
exactly.
just like Prince, early on, she always co-wrote at least her songs and her music until the day she died.
That's how you do.
Back to what
keep
you were saying, she still was a sought-out vocalist and voiceover actress. You know,
and look at all these commercials
danger,
on TV where they're using your song. You know, how many times you heard on, I heard it through the great, all these commercials. I'm saying they got to pay for that, you know. So whoever wrote that, and that's one thing about Ray Charles, why that movie was so important. He was one of the first people to talk about the importance of owning your own publishing, you know, and Prince fought for that same thing and stuff like that. You know, own your own publishing, because that's how you're going to survive in these days and whatnot, you know, because there's not that much money to be made in the industry no more, you know, if you're selling your publishing. If you have other people write for you, you know, because...
Yeah, in private conversation, you and I were talking about how it's important to own your own rights, you know,
Exactly, because you know you got some good something-something.
Rights to your...
Just like the pimp mentality. The pimp making all the money off the hoes, right? The hoes out there, they got the goody-goody. They the one with the good-good, but they ain't got the money. The pimp, I'm saying, they the one with the good-good, but the pimp is the one with the money. Now, I was told like old
point.
People told me like
they're the one with the good with the product.
The old
is
people
their
told
product,
me
huh?
If you're a female and you got a kitty cat and an empty pocketbook does not match. I'm just saying.
I've heard people say that. Well, I just have to have an empty pocketbook and a bank account. I have heard people say that as long as you got that, baby, it don't need a member. I hear women talk like that.
And they told the men.
I guess they be looking at my broke asses. Like, you better get that on, baby. This is I ain't selling no kitty. I've been accused of being maybe a call girl and stuff, you know, for people that don't know about the beauty and fashion entertainment industry. But what is she doing? She must be a call girl. But mind you, I have never been a whole hooker call girl or whatever, $2 hoe or a... $1,000
call girl.
I ain't never been none of that. HOES is out there from high class to, you know, the ones that want to get their bills paid. But,
I guess
they say, well, you broke and we not.
With the men, they tell us, if you got a truck, you'll never go broke. It don't make no sense to have a truck.
Because somebody always needs something towed away.
That's what they say. But that's a good point.
I have a housewife, and I wanted you to talk about your times interviewing reality TV stars too. But say like I was watching a reality show a couple years ago, and a reality star said what you had said, and I was like, what?
I could write me a book like Superhead did. I could do me a character book, but I'm a gentleman.
But you all, Lance and I have talked about co-authoring a relationship book. I know. Who can we tell? Give relationship tips to. But you all seem to have enjoyed the shows on the past week.
I think it's good to talk.
It's not that we give advice, but we're talking and making conversation regarding topics of love and romance and dating and sex.
Could you tell people real briefly before the show, because it's going to cut us off in a couple of seconds, about you were extra on some stuff and stuff like that. How did that come about, you being extra? Did you go to the casting calls or?
I loved it back in the late 90s, in which last year, some of you all remember when The Help was being filmed here a couple of years ago, I was always telling the actors, my fellow thespian friends, to go to the casting calls. I did not want to be an extra on The Help, even though it was a big success. I just didn't. So I didn't go to any other auditions.
Why every time they come out with movie roles for a lot of black people, and look, we got a new movie coming out, a lot of black people, you're going to be in it. What's it called? Niggas in Slavery. What the hell?
Oh,
what?
Exactly.
What?
Exactly. And so,
you know,
so
why
got to
do that slavery or maybe
or going back to the civil rights time, like the help. But we're so proud of the help, though. But I just didn't want to be extra in that film. I probably would have worked in hair and makeup or something like that. But I was the Ghost of Mississippi, which some people probably say, well, that was, but it was Martin Day when they revived the case.
How did that come about?
Ghost of Mississippi
and
the Chamber. If you watch both films, or you only see like a few seconds of me, like on the Chamber, I was behind O'Donnell and Lila Rashawn.
Like
when they're in deep conversation and walking in the state capitol, I'm like walking like right behind them. If you see a actress.
I got a good line in the Spider-Man 2 movie. Because, like, she, when he came down in front of the building and whatnot, you know, she had like a 3 or 4 second interaction, and that was it in the whole movie.
Yeah, but you know what? But even though you might, when you see your friends who are extras and background actresses in movies, just because you maybe only see a few seconds of them, or maybe see them throughout the movie, we work all day.
Background actors, I would say, too.
We work full day.
I'll be in the IMDb credit. That would definitely go on my IMDb credit.
But you know what I do during free time? You know what I would do sometimes during, like, waiting for a scene to be shot that I probably was in? I used to become friends with production assistants and different ones on the film set. And they were, honestly, I think they used to let me like watch the director screens and study what was going on the set. So when I was a background actress, and I'm looking forward to doing more, getting back into audition and everything. Thank you, David Harris, Olivia Beverly Hills, because he really encouraged me. Hey, it's not too late to still, you know, do what you like to do.
I always go back to Morgan Freeman. He was like 50 years old before he took off, started playing God and all these detective movies. And what's in the box? 70W Stimmy, Girls Club, whatever. All his big major blockbuster movies, Shawshank the Redemption. He was
I
like
love Morgan Freeman. You know, he's based in Mississippi, but travels everywhere, you know, in Hollywood. I guess he has a home in Hollywood, too.
That's what got him that divorce now. He traveled too much.
He traveled so much. And that is the advice that Alec Baldwin. Remember, this was in the late 90s, 96, 97, and Alec Baldwin, this was before the internet. And my friends, Alec Baldwin and many of the cast members would spend time with us with Q&As. Now, Whoopi Goldberg, she used to like to stay in character. So a lot of times during breaks, she did network with us, but sometimes she wanted to stay in character, so she didn't, like, you know, when people want to stay in character, they stay in character. They're not talking to nobody, not even their co-stars. But Alec Baldwin and James Woods, because I have pictures of James Woods I share on my Facebook page. You know, they were always willing to do, like, Q&A sessions in between scenes. And one time one of my friends asked Alec Baldwin, well, I have to move to Hollywood if I want to be successful in films? And Alec Baldwin told him then, you don't have to, but you have to travel.
Right.
And you have to travel. And this was before the internet was so popular and networking.
Right.
But he's like, you can live wherever you want to live, but you just be willing to travel. And that means travel to L.A. too, and to travel to the scenes, to movies that you're working on.
Like,
so
you
got to be willing
plays,
to travel.
Everybody know, go to New York. You want to do movies, go to Cali. Or now that we're online, have your agent live in them places. Like, if you want to do movies, have your agent live in Cali. Or if you want
like
to do
David Harris and Levi. Like David Harrison Levy, he's my inspiration, and he's big into filmmaking. He's the star maker. He's based in Beverly Hills. He and I became friends when we both were concerned about our mutual friend, Lenny Kravitz, when Lenny Kravitz became sick in 07 right before his tour. So he and I, we met on MySpace because we both were checking on our mutual friend. But
how old is MySpace? Because I was wondering that because I got some interviews that dated back when people was on MySpace. They're like 7 years old, eight, nine,
yeah,
seven.
Something like that. And then YouTube.
Because MySpace used to be the thing, y'all. Y'all just listening.
Oh,
y'all
and you know
MySpace
what?
MySpace used to be the thing.
And MySpace is still around. Exactly, because I was reluctant to get on Facebook when one of my friends sent me an invite, and he was like, get on Facebook. And I was like, I don't know about that. I was like, I do MySpace and, you know, a couple other, like, business social networking sites. And he was like, oh, he said, Facebook is, like, really for, like, intellectuals. And, you know, I'm hearing we're intellectual. I consider myself an intellectual.
Not in
2013. I'm like, hey. I know. This was 07, 08. And I was like, oh, really? For intellectuals? So I pondered a while, and then I finally got on Facebook. And for the longest, I didn't have a profile picture. So I think some people thought I was Caucasian because of the kind of things that I like. You know, I'm deep into rock and roll and country.
Where you say you live out here? You live in where now?
She
probably the only sister.
A lot of people kept getting on me about putting my profile picture up, so I finally started putting pictures up. But now I have pictures galore. You can't stop me. But Facebook, you're right, MySpace, but believe it or not, MySpace has been reinventing itself. And that's how me and Ryan Seacrest started networking. I was always
now
American
it's probably
Idol.
For the music people who got music over there. It's,
because I'm catering toward
the musicians now.
Yeah, and so it has upgraded because the other day I was logging in, I got something from MySpace, and then you're right, because a lot of the people that contact me are people that's in music or entertainers.
Models
and entertainers and musicians.
MySpace was out. And MySpace let you put tracks up there where people could listen to you.
I love Reverb Nation.
Because I remember when T.D. Jakes came out, and all of them, they were preacher tracks that you could listen to before YouTube and everything was getting whatever. You can go to the MySpace pages and click on the certain messages like, you know, no more sheets with Juanita Bynum or different things. You press a button, you can listen to different things. You can listen to 4 or 5, maybe 6 tracks on MySpace. On Facebook, you couldn't do that. On Facebook, they said you can't listen to nothing. You could just talk, or put links in and to YouTube or whatever. But they allowed you to have tracks and whatnot. And before Facebook came out, you know, so Facebook built on that technology and said, why don't we have playlists now? Why don't we have this stuff now? You know, and stuff like that. So, you know, big ups to MySpace for hanging in there, you know.
Exactly. Because that's how I started networking with Ryan Seacrest via MySpace, because Ryan Seacrest is a big proponent of MySpace still to the day. Because, American Idol, American Idol, they, after regular auditions is over, if they travel from city to city, they went ahead and said, hey, you can online audition on MySpace. You know, they partner up with MySpace. And that was only like the season that was 11. It was like 10 or 11 season
I throw this out here, too. On Indiegogo.com, you sign up for the Indiegogo.com Pro. They also have castings on there. You know, if you're actor, actress, you know, you can get the casting calls and stuff like that and see what's going on.
And you shared some good advice with us a few weeks ago. And I need to be pitching some ideas to Ryan, too. That's because he's Mr. Reality King producer out there, you know, with the success of all of his reality shows, not to mention keeping up with the Kardashians. You know, he's behind a lot of other reality shows also. And if there's some ideas that we need to pitch to him regarding the type of reality shows we would like to see, too.
And the reality is going on now is like, the black reality show, they want them all to be ratchet. You know, they want fighting and arguing. Even with the church women got on in the First Lady, you know, you thought that was going to be a good thing on the Style Network or whatever channel it came on. and TLC, whatever. And these women were arguing, and these were supposed to be first ladies. I was like, that's the formula for black people on TV. It's going to all
those
women.
Those women were on the Jeff Probst show a couple of weeks ago. What were they, the preacher's wives or somebody?
Yeah, sisterhood.
They were on,
they called the sisterhood.
Yeah, they were on the Jeff Probst show, like the first ladies. Like, they all were, like, married to preachers.
Wow. And one was a prostitute in Miami, and for her bachelor party, she wanted to go out and pick some men up in the club that they had waked out. She's like, "Watch," she said, "watch me get them to buy some free drinks." And she was flirting with them and getting. If they wasn't with her, she would have took one of the men home. That's how flirty she was. They said, "You a first lady, you know." And then a lot of people like saying, like, "Should first ladies be doing that?" You know. And then one of them talk about God a lot, and she said, "You talk about God too much." She said, "Wait a minute, ain't y'all first ladies?" You know what y'all talking about? Yeah. They was talking about all that. They was gossiping and arguing, and you know, it just made the church look bad. So a lot of people picketed that show, the sisterhood. They like, these are not representative of the black church, of black first ladies in church, because
exactly.
That's what it was.
When I mentioned, you know, diversity, I'm like, I like to see diversity of a lot of different cultures.
They had one token in there. And she was looking at them like, what is wrong with these black women? They're supposed to be first ladies. They had them acting all crazy. I felt embarrassed. I was like, can you bring some real first ladies in there, you know, because it makes us look bad as a race. You know, when you going into a white person's home and they looking at all these people, you know, and she probably looking at her mind like, you know, I don't want to be sounding racist, but these chicks right here, they ain't nobody's first lady. They want to argue. They in my house and they want to argue with me. You know, I'm just saying, if I was her, I'd be like, all y'all bees, get out. You know, but she was in the church, and so big as for her. You know, but they got, this show is being picketed right now, and that's the problem with reality shows. So when you complain,
you talking about the show that comes on TLC? So you're talking about the same ladies I'm talking about that was on Jeff Probst show. Their show being picketed? No way. I know Jeff Probst told one of the first ladies, he said, I'm so surprised that you talk about sex the way you do, because I think she talks about S&M and everything. And then she was like, well, why not? I'm newlywed. We only been married 2 years, my husband.
She was like,
just because I'm a first, you probably know which one I'm talking about too, because she looked like she might be the youngest one. She was like,
right.
I'm first lady, but we're newlyweds and we still need to get our groove on. You know, she was like, what? I'm still a human.
That one right there, you know, one of them was going through poverty.
And one of them calls herself the Kim Kardashian of the church or something, because she likes clothes and likes to look good.
At the end of the day, people, when you go after the show ends, it probably cuts off in a few seconds. It's called The Sisterhood. And look for people, you know, picking in that show. Because of the content, how they representing the church and stuff like that. And people got problems with it when you go on the show saying you're a first lady, but you're going to act ratchet like all the other reality shows. It was almost like watching Basketball Wives.
But is that how they really act, though?
See, but, you know,
Is that how they really act?
You know, I'm like, I got a problem with it. But I just don't watch it, you know, and stuff like that. Well, let me stop. Yes, I do. I love this. I love it. I love the ratchetness. I watch the train wreck like everybody else. I got to tell the truth. I got to confess. Where my song be? You know, my confessions. I'm saying, Jermaine Dupri, big up to you for making an Usher song. I watch the ratchetness like everybody else because it goes back to, like, what Shepard and them were talking about earlier. Why do people tune in? We want to see the train wreck. That's the reality. We don't, you know, we know it's wrong. We know it's wrong.
But don't we want to see people happy and successful and
lovey-dovey
and kissing one another and being supportive of one another?
That show ain't going to get canceled the first week.
I want to see that.
We don't want to see that. Okay, let's keep it real. We put a show like that on TV, and then we put a ratchet show on when he argued and find out which one you think you're going to tune in. We're going to see you sneaking up at night, YouTube and rewinding, re-looping. My show about to come on. But you're talking about good. You're talking about building and sisterhood and womanness. You're like, ain't nobody got time for that.
Okay, now you sound like some of our listeners who don't have time for foreplay. That's why I always have to have Belinda on so she can break it down.
A lot of that went down Valentine's Day. And Valentine's night, and Valentine's afternoon. Just saying.
So you got to make time for certain stuff. That's what I'm saying. I just brought that up because you got to make time. Just like you got to make time for foreplay in some cases. You got to make
And I would say it's like make time for y'all craft, y'all. You know, we was talking about film. Make time for, you know, do your due diligence. Just find out if this is what you really want to do. You got to decide, is this a hobby or is it a business?
Please do.
You know, because it's a hobby, don't waste everybody's time, and you're not going to be serious about it. You know, because you're going to go through some roadblocks.
I've been serious for a long, long time, and I started Cutting Strike Entertainment in the 90s. And some people probably say, well, why won't you give up now? But, you know, a couple years ago, I was, like, in tears. Like, a few months before I started the show here on blog.radio.com, I'm like, okay, wow. I'm a proprietor of Culture Shock Entertainment and also an imaging consultant. And I'm like, wow, what is going on? What's really going on? What's going on? And then since I'm a supporter of blogtalkradio.com at Donna Miller, then let me go ahead. I guess prayer and God led me in loving Blog Talk Radio and loving some of my favorite hosts like Brian Cuban and